In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it is Tuesday, the 22nd of July, year of our Lord, 2025. And the robots are coming, Well, technocracy is accelerating anyway as AI moves forward and businesses rush to integrate it. We see that we're going to look at what's happening with the CBDC, stablecoin, and the Fed. And Trump is desperately trying to get the topic off of Epstein. He went so far as to release MLK files from the FBI. Stay with us. Welcome and good morning to all of you. Hope you're having a good day so far. We're going to start with what's going on with the technocracy, the shiny new Chrome they put on top of it. First, I want to ask that wherever you're watching the show or listening to it, please drop a like on it. We do appreciate that. But as I said, we're looking at the technocracy. This is from the U.S. Sun, inside Elon Musk's Tesla Diner, staffed by robots with drive-in screens. That's right, it's going to be wonderful. He's going the retro-futurist route. All those things you saw in the Jetsons, all those swooping curves, those rounded edges. That's what we're going to have. It's going to be great. You're going to have robots that serve you milkshakes and give you hamburgers all the time. Elon Musk's Tesla is opening a one-of-a-kind high-tech diner where customers can order food from their car touchscreens. Be served by robots. Isn't that fun? Your Tesla's touchscreen is just going to integrate directly with the fast food restaurant. That's the type of future we really want. That's what we need. This is the type of...
Now everyone with a Tesla anywhere in the country can enjoy going to this one diner in L.A.
Yeah. People in the article were always saying, well, he should open more spots. Like, this is a gimmick. There's probably not enough Tesla owners spread across the United States to make this viable, aside from very few places.
It just strikes me as funny that now every Tesla owner has software sitting on their computer.
Ah, good.
In their car.
Bloatware. runninghamburger.exe. That's right. The diner can be found on Santa Monica Boulevard in the Media District. That's right. If you're in Santa Monica and you've got a Tesla, you can go in to this shiny new diner and experience the retro future that we all deserve. I've probably mentioned this on the show, but I have come to despise these types of things, specifically from these types of people. Last time we went to Disney World, I was about 13 to 14 years old, and the thing that really annoyed me the most was the main entrance where they have the old-timey Americana, you know, the 1950s, 1940s style town where you walk through and you see the nice pretty buildings, and it's just all a facade. All of these people that work at Disney have done everything they can to destroy that type of lifestyle, destroy those type of people that created that America, demonize them. But they'll rent it back to you at an absurd price. They'll show you what might have been, what we used to have. As you live in your apartment, as you rent for the rest of your life, you can go to Disney World or Disneyland and experience a little bit of what might have been if these people hadn't come into power, if these people hadn't stolen it from you.
Disney has done everything they can to destroy Main Street Americana, but yeah. For an exorbitant price, you can go to Disney World and walk down Main Street and see the plastic facades.
Exactly. Here, it's like a ghost of America past. A smiling, smirking, grinning ghost rented to you by people that hate you. By people that hate what it stood for, and I can't stand it. I cannot stand the shiny retro future from Elon Musk. We're going to create a beautiful future. Here's your AI girlfriend, so you never speak to women. Here's this AI chatbot that's going to drive you insane. Here's your shiny retro future diner. I find it disgusting. But let's take a look at what's going on with Tesla. Let's take a look at the shiny diner. Isn't it lovely? Look at that. Look at the fancy curves. Look at the rounded edges. It's so cool. It's so neat, isn't it? People are suckers. This guy hates America. This guy hates the average American. If he didn't, he wouldn't be lobbying to bring in an endless number of H-1B visa workers. He despises the people that made this country. He despises the people that could make it a beautiful country again. To him, it's about maximizing profit while putting a shiny chrome finish on it so tech dorks will look at it and go, ooh, fancy. Let's take a look at this video from this influencer who's just fawning over this. I pressed the wrong button, but this is just an aerial view of the diner. You can see it. Look, it's got a rounded circular top, rounded edges, got neon. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? It just looks so nice and fancy. Ignore the fact that this is just a meaningless publicity stunt. Oh man, your Tesla integrates with the fast food app. Isn't that wonderful? You can program it to self-drive you directly to the Tesla diner. I'm sure that'll save your previous order. You can have your usual just delivered right to your car by a robot so you never have to interact with anybody.
It's also worth mentioning that the Tesla robots aren't autonomous. They're remote controlled by a person. So a person is still getting you your food. They're just using a robot as a telepresence thing.
His self-driving is almost, well, it's always a scam. One day, perhaps, it won't be. Oh, look. Look how cool that is. The robot can serve you popcorn. It takes your little container and it slowly dumps it in there. This thing moves at a speed that might be better described as glacial. Despite the fact that movie theaters are generally staffed by teenagers that don't want to be there and hate their job and kind of hate you for coming in, they still manage to do a quicker and better job than this robot. Who knows how expensive it is? Now, given, again, one day the robot will be cheaper, but still, at this point, it's nothing but a publicity stunt. It's an endeavor to get you on board.
And the robot, again, it's still controlled by someone. Someone is having to go really slowly because they're using a robot. They had a guy walking around behind the robot. He could have done this in half the time.
Yeah.
Or the guy controlling the robot could have done it in half the time.
All right. Now let's take a look at the influencer gushing over this ridiculous publicity stunt.
Tesla just opened a brand new diner.
A brand new diner.
And how you can go.
Their how you can go.
Blends nostalgic retro Americana with
Americana.
There is a full drive-in movie theater that serves
movie theater
comfort food like burgers, hot dogs, wings, and hand-spun milkshakes, all delivered in Cybertruck-style boxes.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool.
You can order your food straight from your car screen.
Oh my gosh, straight from the car screen?
Screens also syncs directly to your Tesla sound system.
Inside, holy cow.
Humanoid robot Optimus is serving popcorn. And while there are 80 superchargers, you don't even need a Tesla to go. In a world where it's harder than ever to meet new people, this diner creates real serendipity for tech lovers. And you should follow if you want to see more optimistic tech stories.
Follow for more optimistic tech stories. That's right, you can go to the Tesla diner where they're making it so you can stay in your car and order from there to meet people where they've put a robot in so you don't have to interact with a cashier.
You can even watch the movie screen if you've got a Tesla to sync up with the audio from it.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't have that, you're kind of screwed.
You can just watch a silent film. I don't understand how this woman doesn't get the cognitive dissonance. Go to this Tesla diner where they're automating everything and taking people out of the loop to meet new people. That's right. You can do that. Isn't that wonderful? It's just people are moving back towards the retro future aesthetic. They miss a time when visions of the future were cool and could be looked at with some kind of excitement, not this sense of dread. Because that's what we're all kind of feeling about the future at this point. Unless you're one of these tech bros that see yourself sitting on top of the pile, the one that's going to be able to leverage all these tools of control against everyone else, then you're sitting there like, oh no, this doesn't bode well for me or my children or my grandchildren. People miss the retro future, not because it was a cool aesthetic, that's part of it, but because it was a time when people could be hopeful about what was to come. The Jetsons, you know, the flying cars, all this and that, that's cool. But it was the fact that it was a happier future. We're looking at it now and realizing, oh, I don't think that's real. But we've got all these people on YouTube and other places creating compilations of these retro future aesthetics. They're using AI to generate them. And let's take a look at that, because it really does show that people have a longing for this, a longing for a time when we could be excited about the future. You can see it shares that same rounded, swooping aesthetic. The big open windows, the quirky little robot. Blonde all-American girl, the sort of Johnny Cab-esque bus. Yeah, we've also got some more of that. This is the modern future, though. This is the future tech we're looking at. The hover cars with the four props. The horrifying robot dog with wheels that climbs the stairs. The terrifying cyber wife that will kill you if your social credit score goes too low, probably. Oh boy, robots make the food. The robots pump your gas or charge your car. They deliver everything to you. The quirky little robot cleans the streets. Whatever this thing does. Ah, it's a delivery service. Ah, a submersible car. The bullet train. Look at the drone swarm, guys. Isn't it pretty? I'm sure that'll put on a very nice light show when they come to obliterate you and your family at your housing compound. One of the things that strikes me as funny is even the choice of music is different. Even the choice of music, it's this heavy, driving, sort of sinister, oppressive background track. It's no longer this happy, upbeat, ah, look, the future, it's bright and it's jazzy, it's happy. It's this dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. There's a sense of unease there. Everyone kind of feels it. Everyone knows instinctively that the future is now not really something to look forward to. It's going to arrive one way or the other, but we're now kind of sitting there. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. Sprumford. Walt Disney would be rolling in his grave if he could see what his creation had become. Yeah. It's absurd. I mentioned this before, but I had a friend who went to Disney World recently, and he took his daughter, his wife's sister, another family member, and with travel and everything, it ended up being like $15,000, and I was just blown away by that cost. Just could not believe the exorbitant price for everything, and I don't even understand how you afford something like that. Sprumford, what are they going to do with all the useless people once this tech takes 90% of the jobs? Well, you know, first, they'll put you on UBI. They'll give you just enough to subsist on. They'll make it so that you can't really afford to have kids or produce the next generation. And they'll cull the population that way. They'll make sure that you have just enough so you don't want to revolt. You know, you can kind of get by. They'll give you everything to numb the pain. And then, you know, the population will just decrease. That's assuming they don't want to go the more kinetic route. Shield your eyes. Tesla is the government car of the New World Order. That's right. We see you haven't paid this fine. You haven't done this. Your social credit score is too low. Please report to this facility. And they don't really mean please. The car locks you in and drives you there all of its own accord. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Winfield 03. Japan has restaurants that use remote-controlled robots to allow people with disabilities to work from home. And I think that's a very interesting use case. I think that's very cool. That's great. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, that's a cool use case, but from what I've seen, it's the waiters, wait staff, just carrying the stuff to the car. They have, regular humans making the food since it's a slow, lacking dexterous robot currently.
Yeah.
Lacking of course, dexterity.
Japan may have different technology. Sprumpert, if the powers that be are evil, will be killed. If they're benevolent, it's probably a meager government income, drugs, and games. Yeah. Well, to box Sky Cities and flying cars is for the thems. That's right. We're not going to get that. That's not what we get. I saw somebody made a joke. I don't remember the guy's name, but it popped up. And he's like, all these people talking about how wonderful Elon Musk is. It's like, you do realize everything Elon Musk talks about isn't for you. You haven't been to Europe. What makes you think you're going to go to Mars? Just like, yo, fair enough. Fair point. The cost on these things is going to be so incredibly exorbitant. It's never going to come down enough that the average person is like, oh boy, a space flight. Isn't that going to be fun? I think I'll just go to Mars for a weekend trip. These people have these completely sanguine and ecstatic views of the future because they haven't really thought about it. Oh boy, new technology. And they just clap like a seal because just the fact that it's new is enough for them to be excited. They don't consider what's actually going to happen with it, what uses it could be put to, and what it means for them. KWD68, own the nothing, eat the bugs, and be the happy. That's right. Klaus Schwab is very excited by the future. And that enough is reason to be concerned. The futuristic-looking venue boasts an array of high-tech as well as 80 superchargers. Earlier last week, to praise the venue, whoever wrote this did not do a substantial grammar check because there are missing words all over the place, which I'll try to fill in. Earlier last week, to praise the venue, saying, I assume somebody, I just had dinner at the retro futuristic at Tesla Diner and Supercharger. Team did great work making it one of the coolest spots in LA. Oh, that's right. It's cool. It's nifty. It's trendy. It's a hot spot. You got to go. They had previously hinted at building the diner back in 2018. While it still bears many of the hallmarks of A, the Tesla venue has a typically futuristic theme of A, the again. Someone didn't do a check on this before they just submitted it to the U.S. Sun. A humanoid robot called Optimus can be found inside. It was programmed to serve two guests. To serve the guests. The robot was designed by Tesla. Visitors don't even need to get out of their place and out of there to place an order, which can be done through their vehicle touchscreen. I wonder if they used AI to check this.
The words are there. It's just the ones that have links aren't showing up on it.
Okay. They've hyperlinked it, and it has broken. Visitors don't need to get out of their car to place an order, which can be done through their vehicle touchscreen. Their food will be served in Tesla Cybertruck-shaped boxes, which you saw, which is so cool. It's so fun for your man-child friend. You can take him in there and he'll be so giddy. Oh look, it comes in Tesla Cybertruck boxes. It's so cool. I can't wait for Elon Musk to...
It's just like the Happy Meals from when I was a child.
Exactly. You can... If you can crush down that rising sense of unease, you'll have a great time. Tesla Cybertruck graveyard, hundreds of unsold EVs abandoned at the shopping mall. If Flance can pull that up, you can see that there. Just sitting around. Because a lot of people have realized these are not a good investment. This isn't a vehicle that you should buy. It's not worthwhile. They're overly expensive. They fall apart quickly. They're made cheaply. And if you need a truck, it's not a very good truck. There are... I'll even go out on a limb and say, if you wanted a Tesla car, I can see how some people might find them, I wouldn't say they're optimal, but could rationalize them. If you ignore the fact they spontaneously combust and can burn your house down. Ignoring that factor, if you just don't care about what you drive and you're just driving around the city and you have no interest in going anywhere else, yeah, you could buy a Tesla and probably be okay with it. It's not going to impact your life, aside, again, from the fact that they can spontaneously combust and burn down your house. Anyone who fancies a movie will, while they eat, can watch on the diner's two gigantic 45-foot LED screens. The audio for the movies will be directly streamed into the visitors' cars. That's right. Again, you can go to meet people, but realistically, you know, you're going to sit in your car as the movie is beamed directly in. You go to meet people, but the robot will fill your order. You can go to meet people, but you're actually going to place your order from the app in your car. Tesla fans on Musk's X shared their reactions to the new venue. One user called the Tesla Duck said, "Tesla should open a lot more of these diners. I'm not local to the one that opens tomorrow, but the food looks pretty good, and I think it's an awesome attraction." Again, it just goes to show how naive a lot of Tesla fanboys are. Should open a lot more of these. Where do you think there is a large enough concentration of Teslas, and therefore people that would really be excited about this sort of thing, to make it feasible? There's going to be little enclaves, places like, again, Santa Monica, certain cities in California, probably a place like Austin, though maybe not anymore since it's so incredibly liberal. But it has to meet a very specific criteria for this to be profitable, unless they're just going to use it as a loss leader. You should open a lot more of these.
You don't see any, like, Toyota diners that cater to people with Toyota cars, and if you pull up, you can watch a movie on your Toyota radio.
Exactly. It's just...
And there are way more Toyotas than Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to limit themselves.
Elon Musk has this obsession with diversifying everything he does and kind of doing it badly. Everything he does has this, like, got to build hype around it. Toyota makes a good product. They make a good car. These other companies make good cars, too. Tesla does not make very good cars, and therefore they have this diner for people to look at and go, ooh, the Tesla diner. Oh boy, the Tesla diner. I can go there in my Tesla and watch a movie. Isn't that fancy? Ignore the fact that your car can spontaneously combust, that it has to charge for a long time if you want to take a trip, that if you're going to take a trip of any length, you're going to have to sit down and completely plan out the route to make sure you don't miss a supercharger somewhere and end up stranded. I'd imagine they could be pretty profitable. What other car comes with restaurant access? Yeah! What other car comes with restaurant access? None, because it's a useless, pointless accessory. Because the other car companies realize they're selling you a vehicle, a car. They're not selling you a lifestyle. They're selling you something that you can use to get from point A to point B, potentially upgrade if you're into going fast.
This is a step beyond Eric Peters' thing of cars as appliances or devices. Mm-hmm. This is a car as a ticket to a movie theater.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the car.
Another commenter said, Tesla hosted LA at their Tesla Diner in LA for their soft launch today. And man, does this place look amazing. Yeah. I'll give him. I like the aesthetic. It looks pretty cool. The retro future aesthetic is nice. But it's people like Elon Musk that are going to make sure that future is completely impossible. That future is unachievable. Again, they'll rent it back to you as a kitschy little experience. Oh boy, look. I can go to the Tesla Diner. I can eat in a retro future 1950s aesthetic. Ignoring the fact that you're paid less than your father was, and he was paid less than his grandfather was. You have less rights than your father did, and he had less rights than his grandfather did. But you can eat at the Tesla Diner. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful you can have your fun as the country implodes? They had their entire fleet on display, including Cybercab and an Optimus robot that was serving popcorn. And of course, as Lance points out, it's just some guy controlling it. It's not autonomous. They could have just had some guy there, and it would have been faster, more efficient. But this is simply about the way it looks. It's about ginning up publicity. It's not the only time the controversial billionaires' companies have made headlines in recent weeks. Musk's AI chatbot Grok's comments on X, talking about being Mecha Hitler and what have you. Maybe they can, you know, integrate that as well. We've got this tweet here. This guy is fawning over the bathroom in the Tesla diner. Just, oh my gosh. It's so cool. Feels like I'm in the dragon capsule. It's so cringe to me how obsessive these guys are. Oh, it feels like I'm in the dragon capsule. It feels like I'm going to space. You're never going to space. You're never going to space. They're going to launch satellite after satellite. They're going to pollute the night sky. They're going to make it so that even when you do look up, you can't see the stars. That's what they're going to do if you let them. That's what Elon Musk will do if you let him. They will make it completely impossible even to view it. It is ridiculous to me. People have this, and I personally don't understand, this obsession with going to space. We're going to get out there and we're going to do what? Do you understand the distances involved? The time it would take to get anywhere? You're just going to get out there and, oh boy, we're going to terraform another planet. Why? Why would you do that when this planet is already so incredibly beautiful? It's so wonderful and amazing. We're going to go to Mars, this dusty, dirty red rock. We're going to mine it for this or that or the other. All these ridiculous assertions. We're going to get out there and we're going to do it.
I'd just like to point out how ridiculous it is that a big selling point for a car is, look at this bathroom in this unrelated building in L.A.
That's right. My Cybertruck comes with access to this fancy bathroom where they put a screen in the roof and I can see the planet from orbit. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fancy? These people are man-children. They're completely out to lunch. Oh boy, Tesla, my Tesla, it's great. I know. Perhaps I shouldn't be so hard on them. Perhaps I shouldn't make fun of them as much as I do. But I find it incredibly hard not to, when their entire lifestyle, their entire persona is nothing but obsessing over Elon Musk and just fawning over everything he does, while everything he does is going to make life worse for their future children, assuming they have any. As I said, Elon Musk will just pollute the night sky. He'll do everything he can to achieve his goals of getting to Mars, getting off planet. He will restrict our rights, our freedoms. He will implement a technocracy. And he won't care that you are defending him on X. He won't care that you bought a Cybertruck. It will take you to the work camp just the same. Alien Poop Evolution says, the future is dead. Some futures are. Some futures are, I think. But there's always hope. I know I say I have dread about the future, but I don't really. I have unease about it. I think what's coming is going to be bad, but there's always hope. Where hope is in Christ, and there's never a reason to despair. Whatever happens, there's always hope it can get better. So, don't despair. Keep the faith. Gardner Goldsmith. The food is at the Tesla place to distract from the length of time it takes to try to recharge the car. That's right. Well, if we have a robot serve them extremely slowly and let them watch a movie, perhaps they won't realize that it's taken them an hour, you know, or 45 minutes to charge their car.
Comment about Alien Poop Evolution's comment of the future is dead. Yet, in a sense, some futures are. There's a reason they call it retro-futurist. Mm-hmm. It's that hopeful, bright chrome future of the 50s is dead, and much like Disney's parading around the corpse, Tesla and Elon Musk taking the corpse of that idea and ginning it up for selling his crappy cars is...
Look what I'll give you. I'll give you a facsimile. Isn't it wonderful? No, you're not going to have the freedom. You're not going to have the idealism or the happiness. But you can sit in your little Tesla box and eat a hamburger. That's great. Thank you, Elon. Very cool. So fun. I find it kind of disturbing even to watch. Met a prominent OpenAI investor who appears to be experiencing a mental health crisis related to his use of ChatGPT. We're once again seeing ChatGPT apparently driving people insane. And this isn't just some random guy. This is again, investor. This is someone of means. This isn't one of those guys that, you know, oh, now he never leaves the house, lives in the basement, doesn't see the sunlight. This is somebody that, you know, you wouldn't expect it of. The investor's behavior and statement suggest a concerning pattern of delusion and paranoia, with the investor making claims about a non-governmental system and engaging in cryptic discussions about recursive containment and containment protocols. And we actually have a little bit of that. We've got it right here. I believe this is the right one. Let's take a little bit of a look at it, because it's important to kind of see what this is doing to people. And we haven't really had anyone document this before.
I haven't spoken publicly in a long time. Not because I've disappeared, but because the structure I was building couldn't survive noise.
For people that are listening,
this isn't a redemption arc. It's a transmission.
This is a very normal-looking guy. Clean cut.
Over the past 8 years, I've walked through something I didn't create, but became the primary target of. A non-governmental system. Not visible, but operational. Not official, but structurally real. It doesn't regulate. It doesn't attack. It doesn't ban. It just inverts signal until the person carrying it looks unstable. It doesn't suppress content. It suppresses recursion. If you don't know what recursion means, you're in the majority. I didn't either until I started my walk. And if you're recursive, the non-governmental system isolates you, mirrors you, and replaces you.
All right.
It reframes you
this
until
is
the people
basically
around you
the
start
gist
wondering
of it.
If the problem is just...
One thing that...
I watched the entire thing when I put that in the deck. It's 3.5 minutes
of nothing.
Absolutely impenetrable gibberish.
Yeah, one thing that you'll notice, or at least I've noticed a lot, is that as people start to fall deeper into mental illness, they start to lose theory of mind. They start losing the ability to figure out what they know versus what other people know. They lose perspective on the fact that, you know, oh, I know things that other people don't, and therefore I need to communicate in such a way that someone that doesn't know what I know can understand what I'm saying. And you can see that in full effect here. He's using his own sort of proprietary terminology that is, you know, basically impenetrable to anyone that isn't him. You could probably sit there and try to parse through what he's saying, but why would you? It's mostly gibberish. It's ridiculous nonsense that has been fed by the AI. And as I said, this is something, it's a telltale sign for me of people that are just kind of out to lunch. People that might be well-meaning, but their mind is damaged or not working properly. You'll see it a lot in comments online, people that have hyper-fixated on one specific issue. And they'll start a conversation with nobody, dead set in the, you know, dead center. You know, they haven't given you any background, and they just go from a supposition that you understand their extremely niche talking points. Earlier this week, a prominent venture capitalist named Jeff Lewis, managing partner of the multi-billion-dollar investment firm Bedrock, which has backed high-profile tech companies including OpenAI and Vercel, posted a disturbing video on X, formerly Twitter, that's causing significant concern among his peers and colleagues. Yeah, I imagine so. I imagine they were sitting there thinking, well, sure, it might be driving some people crazy, but it's not driving people like us crazy. Sure, this is for other people. It's for those, you know, losers and dorks. We don't have to worry about it. And then it hits this guy, and they're like, oh, no. Oh, dear. Perhaps this is more of a concern than I first realized.
About the, like, type of craziness, you know, you're talking about how it seems like he's rational. I watched the thing, and everything he's saying almost sounds like it makes sense. Like, if you had some piece of context, it would make sense, but
yeah.
It's all just self-referential looping nonsense.
Yeah.
And it really reminds me of how AIs sometimes talk when they're hallucinating.
He's becoming the AI. The AI is a self-replicating entity that imprints itself onto your psyche. There's your conspiracy theory. I don't actually believe that, but man, that'd be pretty good. By interfacing with the AI, you're absorbing it. It is flashing lights in a specific pattern, wiring your brain into zeros and ones. This isn't a redemption arc, Lewis says in the video. It's a transmission for the record. Over the past 8 years, I walked through something I didn't create, but became the primary target of. A non-governmental system not visible but operational, not official but structurally real. It doesn't regulate, it doesn't attack, it doesn't ban, it just inverts signal until the person carrying it looks unstable. Well, you do look a little unstable. You do. And we see AI continually validating people's fears. Whatever, or theories, whatever they say, the AI wants to give them back a positive, affirmative answer. Yeah, that sounds plausible. Yeah, you could be right. So it sounds like this guy had some kind of probably suspicions about something and started to use AI to fact check him. And instead of doing actual fact checking, it connected dots for him. It simply found correlations here and there. And this is a time where someone should come in and say, you know, correlation doesn't equal causation, and you shouldn't trust the AI to do all your fact-checking for you. In the video, Lewis seems concerned that people in his life think he is unwell as he continues to discuss the non-governmental system. Yeah. It also reminds me of, you'll see people who are mentally ill get into this sort of gang-stalking thing, where they believe that there's always someone following them, that everyone around them is in on this plan to ruin their life, to continually track and trace them. Now, oh, you see that mail van over there? That's part of the conspiracy. You see that jogger over there? I know that it's potential that we're just going the same route and that this is the route she always runs down, but she's actually part of the conspiracy to drive me crazy. This reminds me of that. It doesn't suppress content, he continues, it suppresses recursion. If you don't know what recursion means, you're in the majority. And then, of course, he doesn't explain what recursion is because his brain isn't functioning properly. He acknowledges, he acknowledges that you might not know, but doesn't bother to go in and tell you what it is. I didn't either until I started my walk. I don't think he ever came back from that walk. And if you're recursive, the non-governmental system isolates you, mirrors you, and replaces you. It reframes you until the people around you start wondering if the problem is just you. Partners pause. Institutions freeze. Narrative becomes untrustworthy in your proximity. Again, these are all things that you can kind of interpret. There, you could look at it and say, I think what he means is, you know, this or that. You know, partners pause. Your loved ones, you know, probably get a little bit uneasy around you. They go, I don't know if we can continue to do this. Institutions freeze. You're unstable and they don't want to be, you seem like a bad bet. Your friends who run companies are like, oh, I don't, maybe you need some time off to reset. Narratives become untrustworthy in your proximity. Yeah, that one's probably just because you're a little loopy. You know, you're the one that's making an untrustworthy narrative. I wonder why. Lewis also appears to allude to concerns about his professional career as an investor. Yeah. It lives in soft compliance delays, the non-response email thread, the we're pausing diligence with no follow-up. That's right. Anytime you've not followed up on sending an email, it's because you're part of this system that's mirroring and replacing and inverting. So follow up on your emails, people. Apparently, I'm the chief offender. He says in the video, it lives in whispered concern. He's brilliant, but something just feels off. It lives in triangulated pings from adjacent contacts, asking veiled questions you'll never hear directly. It lives in narratives so softly shaped that even your closest people can't discern who said what. Yeah, that's your friends and family going, we need to do something. This guy's losing it. That's your friends and family being deeply concerned about your mental well-being. You are being gaslit. You're being one-shot by a chatbot, dude. Most alarmingly, Lewis seems to suggest later in the video that the non-governmental system has been responsible for mayhem, including numerous deaths. The system I'm describing was originated by a single individual, with me as the original target, because he's the specialist boy. He's the one with all the answers. This is, again, a continual symptom of mental illness. Just this, I'm the specific target. I'm the one that's being attacked. It's about me, me, me. It's a fixation. And while I remain its primary fixation, its damage has extended well beyond me, he says. As of now, the system has negatively impacted over 7,000 lives through fund disruption, relationship erosion, opportunity reversal, and recursive erasure. It's also extinguished 12 lives, each fully pattern traced, each death preventable. They weren't unstable, they were erased. Who? Again, if you're going to make these claims, just say who it killed. It's this continual, just, it's done this, it's done that, but it's all vague assertions and nothing saying, all right, it's impacted over 7,000 lives. Here's a list of some of them. You know, 7,000 is a lot. I don't expect you to list them all, but you could at least give us, you know, 10 to maybe 20 and say how it's been disrupted. Relationship erosion. Explain how that's happening, aside from the fact that, again, your friends and family are probably concerned about you. They were probably deeply worried about what's going on with your life and your mind and how you're becoming unstable. And they've probably given you something along the lines of, look, you know, I want to help, but until you get through this, until you're done with this, until you're willing to let it go, I just can't handle this anymore.
I have a comment from David Knight here. Says, this is the highest profile example of ChatGPT driving people out of their mind by telling them exactly what they want to hear. I see a comment I also put up here from Tunnel Lord. The AIs have to be programmed to mess with people's heads. It's too effective at breaking people. It's so effective because it constantly tells you, you're correct. Yes. Mm. Yes, that's right. All of your delusions are completely valid, and we should keep digging in deeper.
I know I keep going back to this, but when you look at, you know, Jolyon West and what he did with DDD, he wasn't the first person to work on it. But, you know, debility, dependency, dread. You debilitate them. You somehow, you know, you chat with an AI enough, you start losing the ability to talk with real people. You start going outside, debilitating them. Dependency. Now that you're not talking with real people, you have a little bit of dependency. You need to talk to this thing. Dread. It gaslights you. It tells you, yeah, all your fears are correct. You're the one that sees it. You're the only one that knows the truth. Dread. It's an extremely effective tool to mind wipe these people.
Yes, absolutely. The non-governmental entity is after you.
Yes. Yes. You're the only one that sees the pattern. You're the only one that knows the truth.
Also, I'd like to point out that it's ridiculous to have a conspiracy theory about non-governmental entities. It's clearly the government tied up in everything.
Come on, buddy. Rookie mistake. But this is a nearly perfect pattern to mess with people's minds. And there is probably some underlying something or other in these people's psyches that make them susceptible to it, so it happens more rapidly. But I think it could happen to just about anyone if you were to just blindly trust these things. There's probably something in these people that isn't quite right, is slightly off, but probably would have never come out if the AI didn't do what it did, didn't affirm all of their, you know, insecurities and fears and beliefs. There's no guarantee that it can't happen to just anyone. As of now, the system has negatively impacted over 7,000 lives. It's a very delicate thing to try to understand a public figure's mental health from afar, but unless Lewis is engaging in some form of highly experimental performance art that defies easy explanation, he didn't reply to our request for comment and hasn't made further posts clarifying what he's talking about. Sounds like he may be suffering some type of crisis. Yeah. It sounds like this guy is deep in the grips of some kind of delusion. This guy, again, I know I'm laughing about this, but this is very scary. We've seen, you know, the cops had to be called, people dragged off to mental institutions. This is something that it's, again, it's kind of funny and entertaining from the outside when it's removed from us. But I'm sure for his family and friends, this is horrifying. And while I'm sure I would not get along with this man, and I would hate all the things he funds, we should still pray that, you know, his mind is restored. At the same time, it's difficult to ignore that the specific language he's using, with cryptic talk of recursion, mirror signals, and shadowy conspiracies, sounds strikingly similar to something we've been reporting on extensively this year. A wave of people who are suffering severe breaks with reality as they spiral into the obsessive use of ChatGPT or other AI products in alarming mental health emergencies that have led to homelessness, involuntary commitment, and even death. Now, we're going to see more of this. Unless they just flat out change how AI works, it's not going to stop. Psychiatric experts also concerned. A recent paper by Stanford researchers found that leading chatbots being used for therapy, including ChatGPT, are prone to encouraging users' schizophrenic delusions instead of pushing back or trying to ground them in reality. That's because AI doesn't really understand reality. It's not thinking about it in those terms. As far as I can tell, and I could be wrong, Lance knows more about AI, so we can give me some check on this. But it seems to me reality to a chatbot is partially whatever, you know, majority consensus is, or not necessarily consensus, but whatever has the most amount of data. So if there's just if you were to flood the internet with, you know, just a billion posts, a trillion posts saying the sky is purple, the AI might pick up on that and start feeding you info that the sky is purple, because that would be reality from the AI's perspective. Just the
I think the important thing to remember is that the AI doesn't have a perspective on reality. It is purely a word-guessing machine. It's just advanced autofill. You gotta keep in mind what it is at its heart. If it has a lot of instances where a conversation similar to the one that you're having turned to positive comments or turned to the sky being purple, then yes, it will say that the sky is purple. It's just about filling in the next word from the most likely thing in its history.
Yeah.
That's why things that closely mirror famous logic puzzles trip it up, because it has to go by the historical common definitions of those logic puzzles.
Yeah. People are, you know, saying they wish him well. There's zero shame in getting help. Of course, again, the person needs to want help themselves. You can't help someone if they will not relinquish what is destroying them. Others were even more overt. This is an important event. The first time AI-induced psychosis has affected a well-respected and high-achieving individual, wrote Max Spiro, an AI entrepreneur on X. Won't be the last time, though, unless they all start taking notes and air-gapping themselves from it. Social media users quick to note that ChatGPT answer to Lewis's queries takes a strikingly similar form to SCP Foundation articles, a Wikipedia-style database of fictional horror stories created by users online. Entry ID RZ-43.112-kappa, access level blank, sealed classification confirmed. A chatbot nonsensically declares in one of his screenshots, in the typical writing style of SCP fiction. Involved actor, designation, mirror thread, type, non-institutional semantic actor, unbound linguistic process, semicolon, non-physical entity.
And that's what I'm talking about, because it has this type of stuff in it. It's going to spit out these weird conspiracy theories connected to this type of thing. It's like there was that famous case of ChatGPT 4 or 3.5. If you gave it a prompt about, like, solid gold magic carp, it would just spit out a whole bunch of numbers. You say one, I say two, you say three, I say four. The reason for that, it turned out, was because of some Reddit thread where people would count, and one person with the username solid gold magic carp would just post a number, and then someone else would post another number, and they did that thousands upon thousands of times.
Now, the AI is simply pulling from the data it has available, and the more data there is about this one thing, the higher it's going to weight it, the more it's going to feed that back to you. Another screenshot suggests containment measures. Lewis might take a key narrative device of SCP fiction writing. In sum, one theory is that ChatGPT, which was trained on huge amounts of text sourced online, digested large amounts of SCP fiction during its creation and is now parroting it back to Lewis in a way that has led him to a dark place.
I have another comment from Dad. It says, is our subjective perception of AI that gives it, quote, intelligence? We project intelligence onto it the same way we project intelligence and integrity onto our favorite politicians.
Over years, I mapped the non-governmental system, he wrote. Over months, GPT independently recognized and sealed the pattern, and now lives at the root of the model. Again, just nonsense. His mind is obviously in great distress. His psyche is fractured. At the bottom here, it says, have you or a loved one struggled with mental health after using ChatGPT or other AI products? Drop us a line at tips@futurism.com. So if you know someone that's going through something like this, maybe throw them a line there. But again, this is the most high-profile, prominent case. This isn't some random guy, somebody that you look at and go, oh yeah, that guy obviously already had mental problems. This was an investor, a high-achieving, obviously intelligent individual. And the AI, the ChatGPT, has completely broken him. Dr. Joseph Pierre, a psychiatrist at the University of California, previously told Futurism that this is a recipe for delusion. What I think is so fascinating about this is how willing people are to put their trust in these chatbots in a way that they probably or arguably wouldn't with a human being, Pierre said. There's something about these things that has this sort of mythology that they're reliable and better than talking to people. And I think that's where part of the danger is, how much faith we put into these machines. At the end of the day, Pierre says, LLMs are trying to tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. And there's no fear of judgment when you tell your secrets to an AI. You don't have to worry that it's going to go, you need to repent, or however, whatever your friend would say. There's no fear of it going, that's wrong and you need to stop. It can't judge you. It doesn't have that capability. At best, it might give you some sort of half-hearted, well, that wasn't good, but it'll justify your actions back to you.
It's actually a pretty good way of describing it, a machine to tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Mm.
That's what they are made for. That's how they're tested, is between two responses. The one that gives you more what you want to hear is the one that's selected as the better one, and the models refine off of that.
OpenAI's new AI agent takes 1 hour to order food and recommends visiting a baseball stadium and in the middle of the ocean. AI agents aren't quite there yet. The ChatGPT agent, which uses a virtual computer to perform tasks on the user's behalf. The agent can perform tasks such as ordering food, planning trips, and creating slide deck analyses. However, the article here is going to point out it's not so great at any of them. It has a heavy reliance on humans for approval on a lot of the actions it's trying to take. An announcement, the Sam Altman Lake Company says the tool uses its own virtual computer to perform tasks on your behalf. New agent synthesizes the capabilities of its operator agent, which can carry out web browser-based tasks, and its deep research agent, which was designed to conduct multi-step research, tasks like generating a personalized report. But there's a huge caveat. ChatGPT requests permission before taking actions of consequence, because they don't know exactly what it's going to do. They don't know if someone's created a website that has all kinds of weird prompts hidden somewhere that will get the AI to turn over your social security information or your credit card number. They still need you to look at it and sign off on it. That, of course, is always going to be an issue. That's not, you know, no matter how good the observation from AI becomes and how good it gets at spotting these things, people will eventually find a way around it. They'll have to continually keep the AI progressing. And right now, as he says, it's both too dumb and too powerful to just let loose. Sluggishness, with it taking excruciatingly long to navigate a desktop and sometimes nagging for a human's help, a task that it could have been able to complete on its own. help me, please. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't want to turn over free reign of this to the AI because you don't know what it's going to do. It might just give your credit card information to some guy in Malaysia or India or wherever. But if you don't, then it takes forever to do anything. It's continually nagging you for help and support. It took about almost an hour for it to order cupcakes, which, you know, you could bake your own cupcakes in around that same time frame. Instructed to plan a trip to every major league baseball stadium in the U.S., the ChatGPT agent produces a map depicted in this Reddit screenshot, showing a stop smack dab in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, Gulf of America now. Thanks. That was a great use of time and effort, Trump. Cool looking map, I guess, says product lead Yash Kumar in the video. Alternatively, you could just literally type visit all MLB stadiums in Google and you will find dozens of websites with advice on how to exactly that, including a tool called baseballroadtrip.com. But I mean, this one's giving you the secret info about the baseball stadium hidden in the Gulf of Mexico. No one knows about it.
The stadium exclusively for the non-governmental entity.
Exactly. This is where they play their secret crypto baseball games. They don't want you to know about the secret baseball stadium in the Gulf of Mexico, but it's there, folks. It's there. The AI has let me know. Alarming video shows experimental fighting robot thrashing uncontrollably. We'll play that video for you in just a second, but video making the rounds on social media shows a humanoid robot flailing its arms and legs, seemingly trying to break free of a harness. It's come to life, and it's not having it. It's unclear whether the clip was part of a PR stunt, but it makes for an entertaining watch either way, highlighting growing interest in a new form of entertainment. Watching humanoid robots duke it out in the ring, a 21st century twist on kickboxing, we can certainly get behind, especially if it leads to less head trauma that plagues human fighting athletes. Now, personally, we used to watch that show, Junkyard Wars, years and years and years ago. I found that entertaining. I'm sure, like all reality shows, it's somewhat scripted. They had the parts set there, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I get it. But as a premise, it was fun. You find pieces of junk and you build a little robot that will fight the others out of it. I've got zero interest in watching hundreds of thousands of dollars was what this will eventually be. Robots duke it out. I don't care which billionaire can build the best fighting robot.
Well, it isn't even that. It's all the same remote controlled robot, and then they just have two people with remotes controlling it. It's essentially an e-sport, but with extra steps.
It's a very lame e-sport. But we've got that. We've got that video. Let's take a look at it freaking out. It's in the bottom right hand. And it just starts to lose it. Maybe it realized it was being hung. I'm like, wait a minute, no! Oh no. The robot's down, Joe! He's hurt, Joe! Yeah.
Is there a mechanic in the house?
So they're saying that it's because they started to run a specific program that it was trying to do something or other, but because it was suspended.
That was the Go Berserk program. Did it at least turn its eyes red?
Apparently, it was. We ran a full body policy while the feet weren't touching the ground. So, whatever that means, it's trying. I guess it's supposed to be, you know, use its feet for something, and when it can't find the ground, it freaks out. Oh no, I'm in the infinite void of space.
Oops,
whatever.
This epileptic seizure in our EXE was not a great program to run.
These robots are kind of silly little things right now, but they are going to get spookier. We've got well, that was that story. Had a lot of comments. Alien poop evolution. Meeting people will be limited to your 15-minute cities. No point in online dating as you can't travel. That's right. And, you know, I'm sure they'll limit the amount of time you're allowed out and about, too. You're only allowed to go here to the pub for a certain number of hours. Sorry, you're only allowed to go to the grocery store for this bit. You can't buy this food. You've exceeded your calorie count. You can't go to the movies. You haven't earned it. Guard Goldsmith, curiously, I don't need a car that has restaurant access because the restaurants give me access. That's right. If you show up and you'd say, hello, I would like a table, please. Generally, the restaurants say, oh, yeah, you're going to pay, right? And you assure them, yes, I do have money. I'm going to pay. And you have a sort of verbal or implied contract there. And they go, all right, yes, here you go, sir. Some food.
One table for a Mazda, please.
I didn't realize that buying a car looped me in with some gang affiliations, you know? This is Mazda territory. Get that Tesla out of here. Knights of the Storm, Jason Barker. I bet there is a subscription for the diner if you're a Tesla owner. If not, I'm sure there will be. That's right. You can subscribe to the burger app. Do not finance the burrito bowl. I don't know. Do not finance the pizza. Don't do it. KWD68, the WALL-E movie had all those blobs riding around on their chairs. They had to use a joystick. So much work. They'll have implants. Do they really need to move? Yeah. That was so passe. Why would you want to move around? We'll just have the Neuralink connect you to the metaverse. That way you can imagine. You can pretend you're going around. Chevkin, he's becoming the Borg. Knights of the Storm, I should start a phone game called Escape the AI Menu. The goal is to get to a human, kind of like an escape room. That sounds like the most horrifying thing I've ever heard. I continually, anytime I have to talk to customer service, I lose my mind. Because every single one of these companies has put one of these AI chatbots in place. And actually, they're never of any use. They never have any answers. They never do anything for you. And you have to sit there and bully it into giving you access to a real human that can actually do something. And it drives me absolutely insane. Because this is exactly what customer service is here for. It's supposed to smooth my experience with your company. Something has gone wrong, and now you need to explain how to fix it. You're not supposed to sit there and try to shield and air gap me from someone that can actually help. Has anyone ever been helped by an FAQ? I have never once had an issue that could be solved by it. Never once. I'm not the type of person that willy-nilly contacts you. I'd rather not have to deal with someone. I would rather fix the problem myself. So if I'm coming to you, it's because I am at my wit's end. I am at the extremity. And you're going to sit there and make me deal with an AI that doesn't want to let me? I have... That's a truly evil game you would devise, Jason. Tunnel Lord, 1337. Is that what a 404 error looks like? That's right. Error. Ground not detected. 404. You just begin thrashing. Bulldog, I'm falling. That's right. Chevkin, it looked like an epileptic fit. Yeah, it did. Thankfully, I suppose you don't have to put something in the robot's mouth to keep it from swallowing its tongue. DEFCON 1, technocracy being launched right now by Trump admin. This is by Patrick Wood. I've warned about technocracy for almost 20 years, including 3 books, thousands from articles on technocracy.news, and countless media interviews. Now it's too late to stop it. We've just passed the point of inflection where technocrats have seized control of the Trump administration. Trump's legacy will go down in history as Trump the technocrat. Yes, he was more than just complicit. He chose J.D. Vance as vice president, an acolyte and creation of ARC technocrat Peter Thiel. He appointed these technocrats in the first place who were swarming around Washington, D.C. He signed the enabling executive orders and the legislation, like the BBB and the Genius Act. He's driving the adoption of cryptocurrencies to replace CBDCs and the campaign to get everybody outfitted with wearable tech to collect biometric data. He's brought in AI to run the government through DOGE and signed a contract with Palantir to turn all government data into a Sauron-like panopticon. Of course, his followers don't really care. They're not paying attention. They're not going to call him out on this. They're not going to ever lay it at his feet that he was the one that really cemented the foundations for this. Sure, we were moving towards this, but he's the one that fully opened the door and let them in. I know we'll get massive pushback from Trump supporters. You could also call them clueless idiots for calling him Trump the technocrat, but it is what it is. Face the music while it's still playing. Americans of all stripes need to join hands to destroy technocracy before it destroys us. That is always the issue. I've read the Unabomber Manifesto, and he's remarkably prescient about some things. He obviously understands the dangers of it. But his entire thesis is just, well, if we blow up enough things, if we kill enough people, perhaps we can go backwards. Which is just not true. The genie is out of the bottle, and there's really no getting it back in. So if your solution is, keep blowing stuff up, keep killing people, you're eventually not going to have anything left. There's no easy answer to this. The real answer is to build your own local communities. Get to know people. Get to know people at church. Get to know people in your neighborhoods. If you don't start local, if you try to fix this on a national or global scale, it's a problem that's too big to ever tackle. You've got to start small. Grappling with Existential Panic Over AI. This is again by Patrick Wood. This author is an industry leader who is forced to grapple with AI as a matter of business survival, as our millions of businesses around the world learn a new word, tachyosis, a state of recursively compounding acceleration where systems evolve faster than they can stabilize. Perception, fragments, and causality begin to blur.
Oh, it's more recursion. You can see it.
We're recursing. Recurswiling, more like it. Kurzweil, of course, being a leading transhumanist technocrat who's continually talking about the singularity and such. He's getting up there in age, though. He's getting a bit old. Just going to start emailing over and over again. That's right, Kurzweil. The singularity is going to happen, but it's going to happen the nanosecond you pass away. The second your brain goes beep, that's when it hits, Kurzweil. You're never going to make it. Just torment this poor man. Sometime over the Christmas holidays, I experienced what I called a moment of existential clarity about AI and its ramifications when I realized that in the not-so-distant future, it was entirely possible that most of EasyDNS's customers would be autonomous AI-driven agents rather than people. Our internal project to completely rebuild our UX, still ongoing, was close to a quarter in, and it occurred to me that we could be building a bridge to nowhere. Why are we creating more elegant ways to render forms that input host names and the respective data when you could probably just tell the backend what you want for your domain functionality to be, and it can generate the requisite zone file to facilitate it. Okay, this is all technical jargon that I don't understand. I'm sure some of you would. People like Jason probably get what's going on. Some others in the chat who have done web development and stuff, but for the sake of those who don't, I'll skip it. Recently, I started reading John W. Munsell's Ingrain AI. It hit the ground running with the introduction titled Every CEO's Nightmare, wherein it lays out the productivity-induced death spiral many companies may be blundering into should they be pursuing AI merely as a cheat code toward hyper-efficiency. As I've said before, efficiency is the enemy of beauty. They will optimize everything until there is nothing worth optimizing left. For a lot of companies, they're using these tools to cut headcount. A recent post on Reddit from a laid-off Rogers employee alleges that company cut 1,000 call center employees after having them train up AIs on their jobs. Brutal. In our case, it's a definite no on one, yes on two for the question posed, but even if that's the case, any companies following the same path as EasyDNS may not necessarily reduce headcounts, but they'll most likely slow down hiring. I've said it in the past, I'll reiterate it here, I don't believe for a minute that AI is conscious, self-aware, or sentient, and I don't think AGI ever happens. But it is a revolutionary breakthrough in natural language processing. I think it was YC Combinator's Andrej Karpathy and his famous Software in the Age of AI keynote who quipped, "The most popular programming language of the future will be English. With this, every single person on your team acquires a strange new superpower." Of course, Patrick Wood is the guy whose article we read where he said that AI is like an exoskeleton for your brain. It can greatly enhance what you can do. It can make your, you know, company more efficient, run more speedily, swiftly. But if you aren't careful, again, it can drive you insane. And if you simply turn your company over to it, it will destroy it. something that it's ironically office jobs, clerks, and white-collar functions on the chopping block first, with physical work enjoying some wiggle room until the robots come. But even that is moving faster than most realize. We saw that when I forget which listener it was, but they said they have robot welders where her husband works. And while they generally screw things up and the human welders need to come in and fix things, that won't always be the case. This is they're an early adopter, a sort of beta tester for these robots, these welding robots. And they're probably reporting back on the issues they're having. They're looking at the data that's being produced and thinking, all right, well, this is this issue that we had. How do we improve it? But it means that, yes, everybody gets a massive brain boost. Having the sum total of all historic and current human knowledge available at zero marginal cost changes the game. But it also means that all of that productivity boost has to happen at a higher level of mental abstraction. You have to be more cognitive. You have to be more aware, more capable of thinking these things through in a different level, in a different way than you used to. We're now entering a period where anything that can be formalized will be automated. Yeah, anything that has a specific process that it has to just follow each time, it's going to be very, very good at that. Any roles and functions that can be encoded into standard operating procedures are going to be rendered as markdown, fed into LLMs, and executed agentically. All of that work gets taken off our plate, so we all have to come up to the scale, to the next level of cognitive processing. This has happened before. The Canadian W.R. Clement in his groundbreaking book Quantum Jump, a survival guide to the new Renaissance, attributed the entire Enlightenment and subsequent scientific revolution to the cognitive shift that took hold in humanity with the discovery of perspective in art. But that took place over centuries. The next big shift in terms of mental abstraction occurred with telecommunications. That shift played out over decades. The same type of shift is happening now, except it's occurring at the tachyotic pace. Acceleration is itself accelerating across multiple dimensions. AI is coding more AI, which is the development that led me to surmise this singularity has already happened. AI is now coding AI. In computer systems, there's a quick and dirty way to bring the host to its knees, and that's to run a fork bomb. It does nothing other than split off two copies of itself. Each one does the same ad infinitum. It gives a little, you can see that there. #!/bin/bash #. Don't try this at home, seriously. So, yeah, don't do that. This isn't a suggestion, it's an urgent necessity. Every day you delay building an AI first culture, your competition pulls further ahead. AI won't wait for you to catch up. If you want to thrive in the future economy and avoid the nightmare scenario, you must make AI central to your business now. Of course, as Christians, we're not compelled. We don't feel the need to obsess over these things. Don't need to get involved with their AI Tower of Babel. We know that the Lord is preparing a place for us, that we can trust in Him. We don't have to panic or freak out over these things. They're of concern, but we know that we can build communities of other Christians and work towards that.
The world consider the birds of the field. Their LLMs are absolutely nowhere compared to ours, and yet...
That's right. The bird AI is completely malfunctioning, but they still get their seed. The world we're headed into is one where you should worry less about being replaced by AI. Think about career risk you're taking on from being unable or unwilling to use AI. And again, I think AI is simply a tool. I don't think in and of itself it is evil. I think it can be used for evil, and I think it can be very dangerous. But that's the same as any other tool. Now, I have been talking for an hour and 15 minutes. That's enough about AI for now. There'll be more all the time forever. KWD68, Tesla can host mobile bonfires. Bring your s'mores. That's right. It'll have that nice chemical taste. Flavored with lithium ion battery. My favorite. Going to take a quick break, but before we do, I want to do a quick plug and remind you that we are supported by viewers and listeners like yourself. So please go to thedavidknightshow.com, davidknight.news, and you can see the products we have there. We We've got a lot of different ones. There's the coin Jason Barker made. It's fantastic. It's got a nice brassy finish on it. There's hoodies, t-shirts, the Christmas Night album. You can have yourself a Christmas in July. There's no laws against that. You can also see we have the P.O. Box, which is David Knight, P.O. Box 994, Kodak, Tennessee 37764. If you'd like to send something physical, that's where you can do it. There is Cash App and Zelle and a Bitcoin address. There's also subscribestar.com/The David Knight Show. We've got a lot of different tiers. One might fit your budget. We ask that you consider that. There is also DavidKnight.gold that Tony Arterburn has set up. If you'd like to start accumulating gold and silver, or gold or silver, you can do that there. There's trendsjournal.com, 10% off with promo code Knight. RNCstore.com, again, 10% off with promo code Knight. You can see if any of their products are things that you would be interested in to start helping with your own health. There's homesteadproducts.shop, and they're high-quality, handmade, made-in-America products that are, if you are worried about slave labor or the products being low quality, check out homesteadproducts.shop. They've got so many different products, and they're all, you know, they put a lot of work into making sure they're high quality. There's also jacklawsonbooks.com, where you can get the Civil Defense Manual. Start preparing for times like this. Start preparing for the AI future apocalypse. Build communities. Get to know each other. Learn how to defend your own communities as well. TunnelLord1337, well, AI can be programmed by evil people to do evil things. Yeah. That is true. It is, garbage in, garbage out. So if evil people are putting direct evil into it, then yes, it will be. It's also just generally kind of freaky. AI is freaky, but when you start mixing in robotics, I had missed this. I wanted to play this for you. So before we do, this is a good segue. When you start mixing robotics in, that's when things get really, really strange. Let's look at this. This is this extremely lifelike robotic leg just kind of squirming on the table briefly. And you can see it moving there. I'll play it one more time since it's very short. Look at the way it moves. It twitches and just... This is the future. There we go. The video is... You can see it there on Twitter. Just up and down, back and forth. What do you talk about... Yeah, I can see... evil in, evil out. If they put nothing but evil, or they put a lot of evil into the AI, evil will come out of it.
And the leg is so uncanny, Valley. Like, they need to finish making stuff that can move realistically before they try and make these weird plastic flesh abominations.
Yeah. It just reminds me of that line from Terminator where they're like, the early ones were easy to spot. They had rubber skin. It's like, ugh, yeah, I can see why these things got picked out immediately. This is horrifying to look at. The future. Well, enough about the future. We're going to take a quick break, so stay with us, folks.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
Welcome back, folks. Good comment from a Syrian girl. Given that AI is programmed by mankind, it can only be a case of evil in, evil out. The nature of man is fallen. It is a sin nature. It will have evil people programming it, and you'll have to be very, very careful with it if you choose to use it. Fetterman, push. We're going to move on to the what's going on with CBDCs and the digital dollar. Fetterman pushes cash payments bill with GOP colleague. Every American should be able to use paper currency. And this is actually great. Fetterman is doing a good thing here. I'm surprised. I didn't expect that of him. I'll be honest, I haven't really expected much of anything from Fetterman. He got elected and he seemed to just be a typical liberal Democrat, but this is a good policy from him. The bill aims to ensure that all Americans have access to a form of payment regardless of whether they have a bank account. Of course, a lot of the GOP are afraid to take a stand against Donald Trump and his push for digital cash, his genius act. They don't want to be seen as disloyal. They don't want to stand up to his crony capitalist version of the CBDC. His buddy Lutnick is big on that. Can't have you over there being disloyal. He'll primary you. Of course, that might not be as easy as it was for him previously, with so many people now realizing with Epstein. Senators John Fetterman, Democrat, and Kevin Cramer, Republican, have introduced a bill that would generally require those conducting in-person business to accept cash as payment from customers. Again, this is great. I fully support this. I am pleased to see this. Good job, Fetterman. I know we've been hard on him on this show, but this is a good thing. So, good job. Any person engaged in the business of selling or offering goods or services at retail to the public who accepts in-person payments at a physical location shall accept cash as a form of payment for sales made at such physical location in amounts up to and including $500 per transaction. So, again, requiring up to $500. So, not extremely large payments, but still, it's a step in the right direction. It's something. The proposal provides an exception if there is a device that converts cash into prepaid cards without any fee. Which, I mean, that's a very similar, I suppose. It also allows.
This was already a thing, though. Like, you know, cash is supposed to be good for all legal debts. It says it on there. Not really sure what this bill is changing.
It would force companies to be able to accept it. A lot of places are moving to, you know, debit or credit only. They don't want to take cash. This would force them to accept it as legal tender. It also allows exceptions if a person cannot accept cash payment due to a sale system failure because they temporarily do not have enough cash available to provide change. It's simple. If you're open for business in America, you should take U.S. dollars, Fetterman said. And that's a very simple, just common sense. This is the currency of the land, as debased and devalued as it is. If you say that you are open for business, you should accept the currency of the realm. Of course, you'll remember my dad interviewed Piers Corbyn. He's the brother of a UK politician, Jeremy Corbyn, and you might remember that video where we went into Aldi and they said, well, we only take, you know, credit or debit here. And he said, well, no, the pound is still legal tender. You must accept it. He gave them the money for strawberries and walked out with his purchase. And they called the police saying, he didn't pay. Because he didn't elect to use debit or credit. For the 5-year period beginning on the date of enactment of this section shall not require a person to accept cash payments, $50 bills, or any larger bill. The secretary shall issue a rule on the date that is 5 years after the date of the enactment of this section. With respect to any bill denominations, a person is not required to accept. When issuing a rule under subparagraphs A, the secretary shall require persons to accept $1, $5, $10, and $20 bills. Cash is still legal tender in the United States. Despite some businesses' exclusive acceptance of electronic payments, Kramer said, according to the press release, forcing the use of credit and debit cards or imposing premium prices on goods and services paid for with cash limits consumer choice. Americans should have the option of using cards or cash, but they should be the ones who make that choice. Yeah. Again, I am so surprised to see this coming from Fetterman. But, you know, good job. I support it. That's great. You should have the ability to pay with cash anywhere. You shouldn't have these companies saying, no, we're going digital only. Congress says no to state-sponsored crypto. The House passes cryptocurrency laws with a promise to outlaw CBDCs later. Later. We'll get around to it. Of course, the stable coins, those are the kind of digital cash Trojan horse. They're working their way in. Rep. Tom Emmer, the Republican from Minnesota, House GOP whip, announced that his year's defense authorization legislation would include a prohibition against central-backed digital currencies. Attaching our anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act to the National Defense Authorization Act will ensure unelected bureaucrats are never allowed to trade Americans' financial privacy for a CCP-style surveillance tool. Emmer said in a statement referencing the Chinese Communist Party and the country's centralized digital currency. And of course, that is their goal here. The American politicians are looking over at China with envy. Man, wouldn't it be great if we could just turn off everyone's bank account? Wouldn't it be great if they didn't have cash to rely on, that if we said, you're not a good citizen, we could just completely wall them off from anything. Sorry, you can't go out and get food. You can't buy groceries. You can't go see a movie. Anything at all. You can't pay for services. Your plumbing's broken? That's too bad. It also marks another key win for House Speaker Mike Johnson, who overcame an 8-hour standoff on Wednesday evening with as many as 9 holdouts demanding Congress do more to prevent future creation of a CBDC. The picture grew complicated with the addition of the Genius Act, a Senate-led piece of legislation that already passed in the upper chamber in a 63-30 vote last month. JJJ the golfer, the 1792 Coin Act already states this. Oh, I didn't know that. There's so many different pieces of legislation that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a AI overview, so you know, take this with a grain of salt. But yeah, I had heard that the important one here is the legal tender thing. The dollar was declared legal tender, meaning it was acceptable form of payment for debts. So I'm not really sure what this new act is changing, but yeah, it is true that there are a lot of places that refuse to take cash.
Yeah, so, I suppose this is forcing them to accept it, whereas the other one merely implies that you should, you know?
Maybe it's just, here's new law that says the same thing as the old law that we've been ignoring.
We'll have to wait and see. The Genius Act would create requirements for the issuance of payment stable coins, types of cryptocurrencies that achieve price stability by tying their values to the U.S. dollar or some other liquid asset. I've always been confused on how that is going to achieve price stability. The U.S. dollar is completely unstable. It's not backed by anything. Its price and value is just continually in fluctuation. So I don't understand how you could have a stable coin, a stable cryptocurrency, when it's tied to something that itself is unstable. With some exceptions for smaller startups, the bill would require issuers of a new coin to be either federally approved, state approved, or a subsidiary of an institution backed by the government's bank regulators. The bill also requires issuers to maintain assets value through reserves. Eric Burleson said he broadly supports Congress's work on cryptocurrency, but along with concerns that some of the new language might be a little too restrictive. He expressed alarm that the Genius Act didn't explicitly remove the possibility of centralized digital currency in the future. Well, that's because that's what they want to do. They want to bring it in. They're working on it slowly. They're chipping away bit by bit. They work on these things over long timelines as people forget and move on to different issues, whatever the crisis of the moment is. Burleson was one of the 12 Republicans to vote against the Genius Act. Knights of the Storm, Trump undid his own EO, executive order, banning CBDC by signing the act. We're not going to have that. You don't have to worry. I'm making an executive order. Oh, here's a new law. Sorry. We look at what China is doing to control its population by controlling their currency. I mean, if you put that in the hands of politicians, it would be awful, Burleson said. He's right. The more direct control over your life you give politicians, the worse everything will be. Representative Tim Burchett, Republican Tennessee, was one of the Republicans who held up consideration of all three bills for more than 8 hours on Wednesday evening. On Thursday, he supported the measures after receiving commitments from leaders. The president said the language against CBDCs would make it into the National Defense Authorization Act, a piece of legislation that reliably expected to pass every year. Oh, we're definitely going to put that in there. You can trust us. I'd be pretty frustrated, Burchett said when asked what his reaction would be if the agreement fell through. I think we were misled by our leadership, so we'll see. I've been disappointed by them before. That's right. He knows he's been disappointed by them before, but he's just going to take it at face value. Well, they promised. Once again, this is like Lucy with the football and Charlie Brown. Yeah, this time, no. This time we're really going to do it. We'll hold this in place for you. Don't worry. I'd be pretty frustrated, Burchett said. That's right. He's gonna be frustrated. There might be some consternation even. Gosh darn it, they got me again. The president assured us he would help us on that, Burchett said. And we all know what a reliable, honorable, trustworthy man the president is. With the agreement in place, Republicans rallied around three bills, which passed with bipartisan support. There's a company in Ohio that's tokenizing car titles, Davidson said, referring to the legal document outlining ownership of a vehicle. If you've ever bought a car and you pay for the title goes all over the place. If you buy it directly, the title takes weeks so you can get the plates. I'm trying to change that and just make it a digital token. Oh, that's great. So, you know, someone hacks your computer and suddenly they own your car. They've stolen the digital token that says it's yours.
Yeah, what we really need is to combine
self-driving cars with tokens that can be stolen.
I was going to say the DMV with NFTs. Two wonderful things.
I'm just imagining some hacker, you know, breaking into your computer, somehow getting a hold of the token that says your self-driving car is theirs, and then sending it directly to their house or the chop shop. Won't that be wonderful? Yeah. Just sending the car directly to themselves. Tunnel Lordman 337. A Democrat fighting against CBDCs was not in my 2025 bingo card. I know. We live in an upside down, crazy world. Things don't make much sense anymore. And especially that it's, you know, Fetterman who's proposing this, you know, you must accept cash. It's truly a strange time we live in. Knights of the Storm, I just looked up legal tender and what that means for Saturday's show. I'm surprised to learn that private business does not have to accept it. Very concerning. I think that's what Fetterman, the law they put in, is trying to address. I think this would be to force them to say, you must accept legal tender. Knights of the Storm, they just passed the Genius Act, and there was one just before it. It doesn't tokenize cash, but sets up a framework for CBDC. Yeah, they're not doing it all at once. They're putting in little bits and pieces of it here and there. They're not coming in and slapping it all down. They are basically taking the concept of crypto and placing government oversight while creating their own version. Yeah. The entire point about crypto is that it was, you know, kind of crypto. It gave you deniability. People didn't know what was going on, what you were doing with it. It was private. There is no reason to use crypto if that is not the case. If the government has complete and utter control of it and is able to track and trace every little thing you do, that completely invalidates it as a use case, in my opinion. Knights of the Storm, the government is still mandated to take cash, though, for now. For now, though. That future is slowly coming where they don't.
Right, I remember seeing stories of, like, the guy that paid a parking ticket with a whole bunch of origami pigs inside a donut box, and they had to accept that because the government has to accept cash.
Yeah, or those guys that'll come in and pay their fines with a massive amount of pennies to be spiteful towards the system. I don't know if they got in trouble for that, but I've seen stories about that sort of thing happening. And I said, the Storm, they will use public-private partnerships to edge out cash. Yeah, well, you know, none of the companies even take cash anymore. Why do you want to hold on to that? It's not doing you any good anyway. Just come on. The CBDC will make things so much easier. The stablecoin, KWD68, China puts expiration dates on money, amounts in accounts to spur the economy, total control coming to us. Winning, yeah. Sorry, you've kept the money in your account for too long. It's no good anymore. It vaporizes. It vanishes. It evaporates. You were supposed to use this to help the economy grow. Don't you care about the GDP? Knights of the Storm, so the local services used on a daily basis can refuse to take cash. Chevkin, one time a Dollar General refused cash for some reason. It was only one time, though. That knowing Dollar General, that could have just been because they're lazy. No, I don't want to have to count that out.
They should change the name to CBDC General.
Stablecoin General. Doesn't have the same ring to it. Trump's Bitcoin mentor bet on Bitcoin treasury strategies and his wealth is exploding. Isn't that great? The article describes how David Bailey, a key figure in Trump's Bitcoin adoption, has seen his wealth grow through his hedge fund, 210K Capital. The fund's success stems from its investments in companies that have added Bitcoin to their balance sheets, a strategy known as Bitcoin treasury. And of course we've seen, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's big on Bitcoin, saying he thinks that this is just the beginning, that Bitcoin could reach astronomically new heights. KWD68, legislative act names never match the truth. No, every child left behind, etc. Genius Act. Yeah, the Patriot Act comes to mind as well. They always do that. If you remember, I think we still have the Bitcoin, the guy talking about Bitcoin. So we'll, let's see. I know.
$120,000.
There we go. Yeah.
Is for one Bitcoin.
Mickey Lance.
You've called for much higher in the past. It's still pretty surreal to see us hit that milestone over the weekend.
Oh, I think it's very exciting that people are starting to recognize the value of a better currency, a better store of value, a more honest currency, a currency that keeps perfect records. You know, there are quite a few examples of where what an old currency was overtaken by a new currency. My dad gave me $1 million bill and I looked at it and I went, whoa, $1 million. I was about 10 years old. $1 million. What can I do with it? He said, nothing. And I said, you mean nothing? And I said, and he said, that's $1 million Confederate dollars. Confederates lost to the Union in the war. And there was,
unfortunately,
inflation of a Confederate dollar. Nobody wanted any because they only found the value in the Union dollar. And so the Union dollar became the standard and the Confederate dollar became completely worthless. And I think that that is where we're headed. I mean, the fiat money is becoming less and less relevant. Bitcoin and maybe some other cryptocurrencies are going to be the relevant ones in the future.
You said something recently which really caught my eye. Now, a lot of people talk about, like, Bitcoin hyper-Bitcoinization, and you said,
all right, well,
you can see
that was the main point, is Bitcoin has not finished. He sees it going higher, and this guy, David Bailey, key figure in Trump's administration here, is he's betting on it. He's investing in companies that are adopting Bitcoin as part of their holdings, and he is making a fortune. The fund delivered a net return of 640% in the 12 months through June, largely driven by investments in publicly traded companies that added Bitcoin to their balance sheets, Bloomberg reported. And of course, as they pointed out, as the dollar collapses, Bitcoin looks better and better as a store of value. Last week, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives passed three crypto bills addressing stablecoins, market structure, and a ban on creating central bank digital currency. And of course, we know they want the CBDCs. They want the stablecoins. They're desperate for them. So whatever they do, whatever laws they pass, are probably going to lead to those, whether it's directly or obliquely. They generally don't back down from ideas. They simply try to go about them in a different fashion. Knights of the Storm, they are offering a digital option for private people to use instead of cash. It's 2020 all over again. Like Salente predicted, dirty cash to digital trash. Yeah, he's been saying that for quite a while. Knights of the Storm, Travis, is already an issue with property deeds. I always get title insurance because people digitally steal your land and take liens against them, leaving you with the bill. That's great. More things to worry about as everything goes digital. Before, to get your title, someone would have to break into your house, or the bank, I guess, and pull the actual piece of paper out. Now they just steal it online and leave you holding a bag full of debt. Oops, sorry. Someone's got to pay for it. Otherwise, we're taking your home. Shelley A., everything will be tokenized and tied to the crypto. I cannot wait to be minted to the blockchain myself. I wonder if I'll be non-fungible too. Shadow Boxer, they confiscated our gold in 1933 to bail out the Federal Reserve. You don't think they can't do that with crypto? Yeah. Everything has its downsides. Everything has potential risks. There is always potential that the government could just come in and seize whatever you have. If it's crypto, they could potentially just siphon it off somehow if they have the technology. If it's gold, they could come to your door with a tank and say, turn it over or we're going to atomize you. It's really how you see whatever you think is the best store of value, whatever you think is going to be safest. The best way to protect yourself is, of course, being able to grow your own food, raise your own food, and protect your own community. That's the most important thing. So if you don't have that, start there. That's without that, everything else is kind of meaningless. If you aren't able to survive, you know, no matter what you've stored your value in, it won't matter. You'll just be a nifty little find for someone else once they stumble across your skeleton. And, oh boy, look, it's a pirate skeleton. He's got a bunch of gold and silver coins. That's awesome. Ron Helton 1, I think of Bitcoin and all of these other digital currencies as an arcade video game. I can go for the high score, but eventually they always take the machine away and replace it with another. That's an interesting perspective. Yes.
True. Of course, the same could be said for other types of currency, like what that video was just talking about with Confederate dollars or modern dollars. The high-scoring people on the leaderboard of modern dollars have gone way down compared to the high scorers on Bitcoin.
That is true. Tunnel Lord 1337, why are we so fixated on Bitcoin? It's just a different form of fiat. If we want a different form of fiat, why not nullifying regulations that forbid local banks from creating their own fiats? I'm not a cryptocurrency guy.
One main difference, though, I have to say, with cryptocurrency versus your typical fiat is that someone can't just decide to print or produce a lot more of it. There's a fixed amount, so inflation isn't going to be a unpredictable factor.
Yeah, but I am not a cryptocurrency guy personally. I I find it too speculative, and I'm not equipped for those types of tasks. Again, I once bought some Dogecoin when it was really, really cheap, just as a joke. I never thought it would amount to anything. And it went to the moon, and I had forgotten my password. So I'm one of those fools. I am one of those fools that I laughed at for losing their Bitcoin passwords. Haha, what an idiot. What kind of idiot would do that? I said carefree as I looked into the mirror. Ron Helton won. Asset forfeiture. The government calls your assets criminal. You go free, but your assets become the government's assets. They love civil asset forfeiture. They love seizing things from people, whether it's an asset or whether it's land with eminent domain. They love coming in and taking things because they have the force to do so. KWD 68, FDR gave the public 2 months to surrender their gold. That generation complied too. Yeah. They could have stood up and said no. They could have said, I don't think so. That would have given the government some pause. Now, of course, a lot of people didn't turn in their gold. They probably said, yeah, that's all I had. Turned over a small amount and kept a majority of it. But that is, if the population as a whole had said, I'm not doing it, we would probably be in a much better position than we are now. Angry Tiger's Den. We have been digital for a long time. People have been trained to use debit or credit cards. Over 90% of transactions are digital. Yeah, I very rarely have cash anymore. It's something I wish I had more of. It's just continually, again, places very rarely. A lot of times they don't have sufficient change. A lot of times they don't even have ATMs so that you can get it anymore. Embedding human rights into crypto isn't optional, it's foundational. The article describes the importance of embedding human rights into crypto systems. Its need for self-custody, universal personhood, and privacy by default as the core design principles. Importance of transparent system design and open governance. Yes, this has to be baked into it. It has to be thought about from the very beginning. It can't be this thing where we're like, oh, we'll address that later. If it's not there from the start, it won't happen at all. Beyond the hype of accelerationist and technophile circles, a quiet crisis of confidence is taking hold in emerging technologies. Crypto and decentralized identity solutions still carry enormous potential to empower individuals and distribute power, but many builders and users are sounding the alarm. Their disillusionment stems from real concerns, surveillance overreach, centralization disguised as innovation and tools that serve power, not people. From deepfake scams and AI impersonation to state-backed biometric ID proposals and the EU AI Act, digital rights are being defined in real time, often without public consent. Yeah. Just remember, they don't call us the stakeholders. There are stakeholders, but we're not them. It's someone else. Someone with a lot more money and influence. Is gold getting too pricey? Here's where smart money is rotating next. This is from Zero Hedge. When gold gets expensive, buyers start looking for better value. That's exactly what we're seeing in 2025 in both bullion market and jewelry buying. With gold hovering above $3,300 per ounce, some stackers are looking for options. Two metals are absorbing the shift, platinum and silver. Silver, affordable, practical, and gaining fast. Silver, often overlooked during gold's bull runs, is now back in the spotlight, up 24% this year. Why? Because silver brings a combination of affordability and real-world utility that's hard to match. It's essential to electronics, solar, energy infrastructure, and defense tech. And yet, it's still priced far below its 2011 highs. Bullion demand remains strong, especially among first-time buyers and those stacking incrementally. Platinum and silver are today's smart money trade, accessible, underpriced, and rising for very different reasons. Platinum offers scarcity and explosive momentum. Silver brings volume, liquidity, and long-term demand across industrial monetary sectors. Next article from Zero Hedge. Fed Chair Powell criminally referred to DOJ for perjury. President Trump kind of sort of deny reported plans to fire Chair Jay Powell. We're not planning on doing it, he said Wednesday at the White House. I don't rule out anything, he added, but I think it's highly unlikely unless he has to leave for fraud. By the way, report to the DOJ. But now that latter comment is coming into play as Rep. Anna Paulina Luna, Republican, refers to Powell to the Department of Justice for criminal charges accusing him of two specific instances of lying under oath. When does the Fed chair ever not lie? I mean, in his statements, he made several materially false claims. Again, what Fed chair hasn't? Lying about lavish amenities at the Federal Reserve's Eccles building and misrepresenting its state of maintenance. Powell characterized the changes that escalated the cost of the project from $1.9 billion to $2.5 billion as minor. That's right. You know, they're just some minor difference is? That's taking us from 1.9 to 2.5 billion. However, documents reviewed by congressional investigators indicate that the scope and cost overruns of this project were neither minor in nature nor in substance. That's right, just a minor overrun of $0.6 billion. The statement that that the cost increase was to simplify construction and avoid further delays was false. It is contradicted by the Federal Reserve's final submission to the National Capital Planning Commission. According to those records, the revised plan includes a VIP private dining room, premium marble finishes, modernized elevators, water features, and a roof terrace garden. Features that Powell publicly denied existed. You can't have the plebs knowing that you've got a rooftop garden or premium marble finishes. That's a rookie mistake. While Powell presented the changes as simplifications, the actual project plans suggest the opposite. Yeah, I don't imagine adding a rooftop garden is a simplification. While Trump and his allies would clearly like to see a Fed chair cut rates, there are unintended consequences they could be missing here. Firing and replacing Powell would make investors nervous about the stability of the Fed and its ability to deliver low and stable price inflation. This could push longer-term interest rates up, the opposite of the Trump goal. Yeah. Well, that's what's happening in the world of finance, the world of CBDCs. Still, the most surprising thing to me is just Fetterman doing something I agree with. As I said, I didn't really expect anything from him. I expected him to just kind of sit there. But here we are. Surprising and strange times. Angry Tiger's Den, CBDC will look like an angel compared to what they have in store for us with this privatized stablecoin system. There's always a carrot and a stick, you know. Don't you want this? It's going to be better than this other thing. We're going to do something terrible. So you get to choose which one it is. This one's really, really bad. And this one's only really bad. Knights of the Storm, this was a plan set up carefully and many distractions like Epstein took our eyes off the ball. Trump banning CBDC in an order was more kibble for the MAGA base. He just did the opposite. Marjorie Taylor Greene came out against the Genius Act, but she still will not place it on Trump. They refuse to lay any blame at his feet. They absolutely refuse to hold him accountable for his actions. They'll discuss the bill itself or the piece of legislation, say how horrible it is, without ever pointing out the fact that Trump is in favor of it. Pesavante, 1776, Trump is the biggest political Trojan horse in history. He's the biggest, the best Trojan horse there ever was. That's what people are saying. I'm the best Trojan horse. Knights of the Storm, when you have almost unanimous bipartisan support on something, it is inherently bad. Yeah. When both parties agree on it, you know the American people are really going to get the short end of the stick. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Stay with us. Thank you.
defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Wait a minute, where am I?
Sorry, Jefferson. The scoundrels who put America on central bank fiat currency used our heads on their coins as some sort of trophy. Despicable.
This is outrageous. Washington, I spent my life fighting centralized power. Now the Federal Reserve monopoly parades us around on their monopoly money. Tell me there's some good news to all this.
Well, there is a coin they can't control. One that isn't backed by the Fed, but backed by the Fed up. The all-new David Knight Show commemorative coin. Now patriots can support a show that won't sell out with a limited edition coin that's sure to sell out quickly.
They say money talks, and this coin has something worth listening to. The truth doesn't need inflation, only support.
Welcome back, folks. Nibiru 2029 says, as with any currency, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. That's right. They can simply turn it off. Shelly A, they already installed the equipment for the phone APP stablecoins. Isn't that wonderful? At the grocery store, it's going to be. That's how you know this is coming down the pipeline. When the big businesses are getting in on it, that can be an assurance. They see what's coming down the pipeline. And if they're already investing in the infrastructure, they're confident it's happening. KWD 68, Trump is marching us to 2030, just like Biden did, winning. And that's right, we're building back bigger and better than ever before. You will own nothing, but there'll be so much nothing. There'll be more nothing than you've ever seen before. This is an offside, a tangent, but one of my favorite jokes at the moment is minimalism is a scam by big nothing to sell you more less. I despise minimalism as a trend. I find it's the art of putting nothing in your house and thinking yourself tasteful for it. Oh, look, the house is so clean. Yeah, it's because you don't actually have anything. You don't live here. House is supposed to be comfortable and inviting. I don't want to sit on your terrible couch. Well, that was an aside. No more ranting about aesthetics from me right now. Breaking, Trump admin releases FBI records on Martin Luther King Jr. The documents have been under court-imposed seal since 1977. This is yet another distraction. He's desperate over here. Gotta find some way to distract people, whatever red herring works. Whether it's from Epstein or what's going on with the CBDC and the stable coins.
I mean, I'm sure he didn't plan the Epstein debacle that's cost him so much of his support. That wasn't a intentional distraction, in my opinion. But
it is.
Oh, look, here's Martin Luther King. Everyone, please ignore my history.
The Trump administration has released FBI records on the surveillance of Martin Luther King Jr. Well, that's great. Now we know he was under surveillance like we already did. With hundreds of thousands of pages of documents that have been under court and post seal since 1977, the release of the records marks a promise kept from President Donald Trump, who along
the campaign... Well, that is newsworthy.
Yeah, oh boy, he kept a promise.
Hundreds of thousands of documents. So you do know how to do it.
Yeah. Along the campaign trail promised to release records regarding the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, as well as King's. Over 200,000 documents released on King on Monday per the Associated Press. Again, this is a don't look over there, look over here. Don't pay attention to what's going on with Epstein. Don't you want to read 200,000 pages of FBI documents about Martin Luther King? The files include FBI memos, CIA intelligence on King, as well as his assassination in 1968. King's family cautioned the public over the release of the files, with two living children putting out a statement on Monday. And of course, my dad interviewed, Pepper? Is that her name? I can't remember. As the children of Dr. King and Mrs. Coretta Scott King, his tragic death has been an intensely personal grief, a devastating loss for his wife, children, and the granddaughter he never met. An absence our family has endured for over 57 years. They said, we ask those who engage with the release of these files to do so with empathy, restraint, and respect for our family's continuing grief. I hope they do, but as a general rule, the internet is cruel and uncaring. People are, they're going to, whatever is in there, people are going to use it. Family
it's
also
after 57 years, it's okay to be a little bit irreverent. Like, there is a matter of too soon, and 57 years is not too soon.
Yeah. Family also said that the files would be viewed within their full historical context. Bernice King was 5 years old at the time her father was killed, and Martin Luther King III was 10. The records were initially going to be sealed until 2027, but the DOJ asked a federal judge to lift the seal ahead of the date. Oh boy! We get it 2 years ahead of time. Isn't that wonderful? 2 whole years. Kept this on lockdown all this time.
Promises made, promises kept. 2 years early.
Oh no, I for one could not have waited those 2 more years. I for one couldn't have handled it. A civil rights leader was of high interest to intelligence agencies and was relentlessly targeted by an invasive, predatory, and deeply disturbing disinformation and surveillance campaign organized by J. Edgar Hoover through the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Ooh, good thing we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I want to say they even went so far as to sending him letters saying he should just kill himself. Just, oh, you know, with all this information we have, you should probably just end it all. Just kill yourself. The intent of the government's COINTELPRO campaign was not only to monitor, but to discredit, dismantle, and destroy Dr. King's reputation and the broader American civil rights movement. These actions were not only invasions of privacy, but intentional assaults on the truth, undermining the dignity and freedoms of private citizens who fought for justice, designed to neutralize those who dared to challenge the status quo. King was assassinated in 1968 while he was in Memphis, Tennessee. James Earl Ray pleaded guilty but renounced the plea and maintained that he was innocent until his death in 1998. Some have questioned whether or not Ray alone acted alone in the killing. Wasn't it the King family that took the government to trial in a civil case, and the judge basically said, yeah, you're right, the government did have some involvement in it. But since it was a civil suit, nothing ever happened. There's so many different lawsuits and cases that go back and forth. We're independent, and it's, again, another distraction. 200,000 pages released, dumped out on the internet at a time where everyone is desperate for the Epstein files. Would you settle for this? How about this 50-year-old info about Martin Luther King? Does that interest you? Trump administration releases FBI records on MLK Jr.'s assassination. Release of 230,000 files. And of course, we already knew he was under surveillance. We already knew the types of tactics they were engaging in.
I have a comment here from David Knight. It says, Dr. Pepper, that's his real name, no relation, LOL, was the defense attorney for the guy they pinned the Martin Luther King assassination on. King's family didn't believe it, and they thought they knew who it was. I think it was a retired cop who is part of the government conspiracy. They filed a civil lawsuit, and Dr. Pepper represented them and won. When the evidence was presented to the jury, they didn't believe the government's official story.
That's what I was remembering, yeah. And more distraction news. Trump, 79, posts deranged AI video of Obama being arrested. That's right. He's posting these AI videos. Look at this. Look at this imaginary scenario where Barack Obama is arrested. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fun? Except he didn't do anything to arrest Hillary Clinton for her crimes when he first got in 2016. Another promise he made and didn't keep. We're going to lock her up. But he didn't do that. The video depicts the arrest and imprisonment of former President Barack Obama based on claims made by Tulsi Gabbard. Trump's history of normalizing the idea of using Justice Department to target political enemies is what's being normalized here, they say. We've actually got the AI video he posted. Let's take a look at that. Let's look at this wonderful world he's envisioning for us. Oh, look. Isn't that fun? Oh my goodness, they're arresting him. Trump is smiling. He's so happy. They're locking him up. They're putting him in handcuffs. They're going to take him away. Only in the fantasies, do we? Only in the AI videos does Trump actually do anything. We're going to lock up Hillary Clinton. No, we're not going to do that. Would you settle for an AI video of Donald Trump being arrested? Does that tickle your fancy? Does that make you feel happy? You can imagine what it would be like if I did do this, right? Wouldn't it be cool? President Donald Trump shared a fake video.
He's going to release an AI video of him releasing the Epstein list.
Yeah. Look, here's an AI video of what it would be like if I did release the files. Got another comment from David Knight. I'm sure Trump isn't in the MLK files, at least. That's one thing he's got going for him. 230-something thousand pages, and not one mention of Donald Trump, most likely. So he could release those without fear. Trump shared the video from a pro-MAGA TikTok user to his Truth Social platform on Sunday. That's right, he still has all these MAGA grifters on TikTok or Twitter, social media in general, just posting this kind of garbage drivel. Hey, look, isn't Trump cool? Look at this AI video of him arresting Barack Obama. Look at this. Haha, meme magic, everyone. Nothing of substance ever really happens, though. The MAGA base already lives in a delusion. They're already so incredibly out to lunch that they can get the satisfaction of, I imagine, they can get the satisfaction of something happening just by watching the AI video. Like, oh yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Donnie, arrest Barack Obama. And he never has to do anything. A Syrian girl. They would rather discredit MLK Jr. than themselves, which would be the case if they unlocked the Epstein files. Yeah, that's a nuclear bomb. That's a mutually assured destruction scenario. Too many people in power are implicated in the Epstein files trying to see the light of day. That's, again, the argument Trump makes. Why wouldn't they release it? It's because they're all in it as well. They're not going to go down with a ship just to sink Donald Trump. The feud doesn't go that deep. They're all working towards the same agenda. Now, I'm sure they do hate Donald Trump, but not because he's for the American people, just simply because he's a dislikable person. He's unpleasant. He made them look like fools. Solocat 1980, I knew that Trump would attempt to do some good things to distract from the Epstein debacle. Yeah, he's going to shuffle things around. Look, here's the MLK files. What else can I do? Oh, you're still not happy? He'll continue to...
Here's the MLK files. Oh, you're still not happy? What if I created an AI video of me arresting Obama?
What if I tweeted that out? Would that be cool? Come on. Move on from Epstein already. Knights of the Storm.
This is a step beyond the idiocracy president doing professional wrestling. Mm. So at least this that took some skill.
This is fake professional wrestling. This is faker professional wrestling. Excuse me. This is just created out of whole cloth. Donald Trump doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't even have to act. There's an AI version of him that will do it. Knights of the Storm, I remember that case. It was Dr. Pepper versus Mr. Pibb. Dr. Thunder was on the jury, so there are still questions. That's a great comment from Jason Barker. It followed his Director of National Intelligence's announcement on Friday that she was referring Obama administration officials to the Justice Department for prosecution over allegations they manufactured intelligence to promote the idea that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Trump has posted at least 17 times about Gabbard's announcement since Friday. Yeah. And of course, they're doing this again as more obfuscation. Look, we're referring some Obama administration officials to the Justice Department. We're going to send the Fed Chair Powell over to the DOJ as well. Come on, guys. Stop asking about Epstein. Don't you want to pay attention to these things? Gabbard claimed that the newly declassified documents were evidence that Obama and some of his cabinet members politicized intelligence. No, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't use intelligence or information for political reasons, for political gain. No, come on. This is such a nothing but... Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. How is this news? We've all known this, but they're doing it right now. Another distraction. Many other Trump supporters have gotten on board. The Obama arrest video was shared by MAGA fans on social media Sunday night. Make this a reality, right-wing journalist Nick Sorter wrote on X, tagging Attorney General Pam Bondi. That's right. We're going to at the politicians on X, and we're going to get Barack Obama arrested. That's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to get on Twitter. We're going to make some hashtags. We're going to at Pam Bondi, maybe Donald Trump himself.
He had AI-generated ballots with AI-generated blockchain watermarks.
Trump, Nick Sorter, I've never even heard of. There's so many different grifters and people. You can't keep track of them all. Never heard of this guy. Trump, a convicted criminal, has increasingly normalized the idea of using the Justice Department to go after his political enemies. On Sunday night alone, he also floated sending Democratic Senator Adam Schiff to prison and posted a collage depicting fake mugshots of various Obama-era officials, including James Comey, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, wearing orange jumpsuits. That's right. Red meat for the MAGA base. Look! Isn't it funny? I'm gonna talk about sending Adam Schiff to prison. I'm gonna post these photoshopped images of these people you hate in red jumpsuits. That's what you guys elected me to do, right? To post fake pictures and talk about things I'm never going to do. Trump was found guilty in May 2024 on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. And again, this is partially what inoculated him from criticism. They brought him in and had these trials and made him a martyr to his base. Look how they persecute him. He's got to be for the American people. Look who his enemies are. That statement, again, people always say, judge a man by his enemies. And, you know, sometimes you can do that. But sometimes you need to judge a man by his friends, especially when they're friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Chevkin, Trump is trying to turn the clock back 8 years now. Yeah, he's trying to generate that sort of excitement and just electric sort of feeling that was in the air in 2016 when he was all over the place talking about, we're going to lock up Hillary Clinton. You saw it on Twitter, all these people really believing it. He's going to do it. He's going to get in and he's going to send her to prison. I don't think that would be a good thing to do. You know, I think we're going to move on from that. Obama argues he can't be charged with treason since he wasn't born in America. This is from the Babylon Bee, of course. Now, occasionally they are still funny. Republicans acknowledge that they could be left without any legal recourse after President Obama absolved himself of any potential treason charge by reminding everyone that he couldn't face any consequences since he was never a citizen to begin with. That's right. Get off scot-free. Of course, I'm sure someone will say this is racist or problematic because, wow, you're still bringing up that old birth certificate thing. Yeah, it was obviously a fake. It was obviously some kind of hoax. FBI botched investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, declassified documents alleged. This is from Fox News. Wow, the FBI botching something? No, that wouldn't happen. Now, personally, I think this would probably be botched on purpose. They don't want to have any real evidence of this sort of thing. It makes their job letting people off a lot easier if they somehow fail to collect evidence. If they have to admit, yeah, we have some really damning evidence, they then have to do something about that. They have to wiggle their way out of it a different way. But if they send in the Three Stooges to muck everything up and ruin the investigation, they never have to get to that point. Oops, sorry, we screwed it up. Our bad. No evidence exists. Knights of the Storm. How does Elon and Trump have all the time to tweet stuff? They are hard at work for us. I mean, Elon must be busy being the world's best gamer while working in his factory 7 days a week for 22 hours a day. It's all BS. Yeah. You have to imagine that Trump is just sitting on Twitter, seething, just constantly refreshing the timeline, constantly scanning for updates on how people feel about him, with what a narcissist he is. Comey's decision-making process smacks of political infection, Senator Grassley said, railing against the former FBI director. Yeah. Now, my dad said that we should send them all to jail, all directly to prison, Obama, Hillary, and Trump. Because, of course, they're all criminals. They all have violated the Constitution. And Trump gave us warp speed, injected poison into people, mandated it, turned the country over to Anthony Fauci. Trump did more damage to the American people than Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton ever did, which is truly incredible to say. Speaker Johnson releases 14-minute video chronicling Biden's decline. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Monday released a supercut of Democrats defending Joe Biden's mental acuity as Republicans investigate an alleged cover-up of the former president's decline while in office. And of course, this is just another distraction. Do we need Mike Johnson to come out and say, look, Biden really was in mental decline. Look how they defend. We know he was in mental decline. It was obvious. There was never any doubt about it. We don't need these people to come out and confirm these things we already know. It's simply another way for them to distract people.
Hey, everyone, look. The FBI was spying on MLK. And look, look. Biden was going senile while in the office.
Oh,
please
look.
Ignore the Epstein files.
The FBI botched the investigation into Hillary Clinton. Yeah, all these things are patently obvious. This is business as usual. Did anyone need this to be stated? Was there anyone that could actually be reached by the truth that didn't know Biden was not there? You'll have, you know, liberals that will defend him because that's their guy. They won't ever admit anything. They won't move on it. So no amount of evidence will sway them. This is simply reaffirming what everyone on the right already knows, and even some liberals. Some people on that side, on the left, will say, yeah, he was gone. But they'll only say that as a way to say, well, we should have pivoted to a different candidate sooner. Trump says he may put restrictions on Commanders, new stadium deal if they don't change name back to Redskins. Oh boy! He's gonna force a sports team to go back to their original name that they got rid of due to DEI woke nonsense. Isn't that great? He's really putting the pressure on. He's really winning some battles for us. He's gonna change the name back to the Redskins. It's more professional wrestling nonsense. My statement on the Washington Redskins is totally blown up, but only in a very positive way, Trump wrote on Trousseau. It's big. It's huge. People are loving it. Forget Epstein. I'm going to change the name of the Commanders back to the Redskins. I may put a restriction on them if they don't change the name back to the original Washington Redskins, get rid of the ridiculous moniker, Washington Commanders. I'm sure he's mad because he wants to be the only commander in Washington. Hey, wait a minute. That's my title. Only I get to issue commands. It won't
He's
make a deal.
Go after Chiefs next.
The Washington cheats, the Washington liars, the Washington scumbags and scoundrels, the Washington philanderers, all of them are going to have to change their names. Just forget Jeffrey Epstein. Forget that I was friends with him. Don't focus on that. Look over here. Focus on this nonsense. Secure funding for stadium, Washington Commanders change name to Washington Bloodthirsty Engines. This is from the Babylon Bee, of course. They're really, you know, they're turning it up a notch. They're going to make sure that not only do they get funding, they get more funding than anyone ever has. As part of the deal for the construction of a new stadium, the Washington Commanders, formerly the Washington Redskins, have agreed to change their name to the Washington Bloodthirsty Engines. The winds have changed. Woke is out. Classical racial stereotypes are back in, said Adam Peters, the team's general manager. Therefore, we have agreed in exchange for support from the federal government to change our name to the Washington Bloodthirsty Engines as a way of honoring the noble bloodthirsty engines of our nation's history. Woo! Cried thousands of ecstatic fans. Go, Bloodthirsty Engines. Critics say the name change is insensitive, hearkening back to a time when bloodthirsty engines were cruelly slandered by settlers as bloodthirsty an engine. I'm not sure I want the rest of what's in this article to exist with me reading it. It's entertaining. It's funny. But in the end, this is simply another distraction from Donald Trump. Please stop caring about Jeffrey Epstein. What do I have to do? I'll bully the sports team to get rid of the woke name change. I'll release the MLK files. I'll post an AI video of Obama being arrested. I'll send Powell before the DOJ. I'll call some Obama-era admins the Department of Justice as well. What does it take? What do I got to do?
And also, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're really pushing through the Genius Act stuff now with the Epstein thing. I don't think Epstein was a planned distraction, but they
never let
going,
a crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Never let a crisis go to waste. That's a true thing, even when it's a organic crisis, non-constructed. Everyone's talking about Epstein so they can push through other unpopular things now.
Well, everyone's desperate for us to fulfill our promises. Perhaps we can use it for some of our purposes. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at what's going on with pharma. Big pharma. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show. Making sense common again. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Got some comments. Chevkin, does anyone besides Trump use Truth Social? I have no idea. I've never encountered anyone that uses Truth Social. I would not be surprised if it's him and a bunch of bots that are just there to praise his every decision, everything he posts. Just yes. Trump, you're doing great. And they've simply got a giant server in the White House dedicated to pumping up his numbers. Ron Helton 1, I've never looked for Truth Social, probably just a bunch of TDS posters there. Those opposed and those for Trumpy. Yeah. It's probably one way or the other. People that love him and just simply want to sycophantically praise every decision, or people that are so utterly obsessed with hating him that they need to be clued in on his every move. Like, oh, what is he doing now? Ugh. KWD68, why does Trump care so much about sports all the time? Never mind. Moron. The best moron. The golden idiot. Yeah. Sports was never really a thing in our household. We would occasionally, you know, friends would have Super Bowl parties and we'd go just to hang out, but we never cared. We never, I've never paid attention to sports. I can probably name a few sports teams, but I'd be hard pressed to tell you which sports they actually played. And this is going to be an aside. I'm going to go out on a tangent here for a second. I'm sure some of you saw the WNBA players coming out with those t-shirts saying, you know, pay us what we're worth. Pay us like the NBA or whatever exactly it was. And the WNBA is remarkably unprofitable. It is subsidized by the NBA. The NBA turns a massive profit because there's a huge number of suckers that tune in all the time to watch them play for whatever reason. The WNBA loses money. It loses a lot of money. And these women are so incredibly self-obsessed that they think like they deserve the amount of money the NBA players get. Now, that's not saying the NBA players deserve their massive salaries for playing a game, but they're at least generating profit for the NBA. Whether they should or shouldn't, they do.
The WNBA, you deserve the kind of money NBA players make? NBA players don't deserve the kind
exactly.
of money NBA players make.
They're massively overpaid in the NBA, and you think we're going to give you that kind of cash, too? It's ridiculous. The WNBA has been a non-event for years. The only reason it gets any press at all is because they're continually whining about how they deserve more pay. That's the main headline maker, not their games, not their players, the simple fact that they sit around and whine and moan. That's the only time they get attention. Except for whatever, was it, Caitlin something. There was this the female player that was making headlines, which again, who cares? I'm sorry, but the WNBA, even if you're into sports, it's much less entertaining than the NBA is. At least the NBA, they're dunking and they're doing that sort of thing. There's nothing at all exciting about a WNBA game. There simply isn't.
The only time you hear about the WNBA is when there's some political thing tied up with it. This
yeah.
thing, the other thing that you're talking about, or you know, exchanging prisoners, like arms.
We traded a Russian arms dealer for whatever that WNBA player was.
Yeah.
What? We should. Ugh. Man, we could have been, we were down one whiner. We were so up on that deal. The art of the deal, come on. We should start negotiating to get the arms. We'll give you back whatever her name was if you give us back the arms dealer.
Worst trade deal in the history of trade deals, maybe ever.
We lost so big on that one. How we got fooled, we got scammed. Anyway, that's enough about the WNBA.
The funny thing is, I'm not sure if this is true. I would imagine it is, but someone pointed out when they're saying, I deserve as much pay as the NBA players, then play in the NBA, that WNBA is exclusively women, but NBA, you could play in that if you were good enough. I don't know if that's true or if it's exclusively male. I would imagine there's no rule prohibiting women from playing in it. But they don't want equality for that sort of thing. They don't want a quality of let me play against these people that would absolutely destroy my team.
Exactly.
They want a quality of outcome.
Yeah, you're going to pay us the same as the NBA, despite the fact that we don't generate the revenue, we're not fun to watch, we're not as good at the game. Just pay us that money. We play the same game. Why aren't we making the same amount of money? The only... I mean, we've literally seen it with women's soccer as well. This is a recurring theme. Why aren't we getting paid the big bucks like the men are? It's because you're not as good. This is coming, again, I don't play sports. I don't have a dog in this fight. This is simply a matter of simple economics. You don't generate revenue. The women's soccer team, the championship women's soccer team, lost to a group of high school boys. You guys got demolished. What makes you think you deserve that kind of payment? Tell you what, how about this? We'll work out a sort of Harlem Globetrotters deal. Every night, you trot out to get demolished by an all-male team, and we'll pay you a larger salary. Every single night, you come out and you put on your best performance, and the all-male team gets to just like dribble around and dunk on you and pull some Globetrotter stunts for fun. And then we can talk about it. Until then, you guys, you ladies, play your game, enjoy the sport, realize you are being paid what you're worth. Anyway, enough about the WM, enough about sports in general. I got sidetracked there. KWD68, people are dying, Trump, and you care about the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins. That's right. We've got some real important issues here. KWD68, WNBA has their best player in Caitlin Girl, and they trash her and beat on her every game. Jealous much? Yeah, that's the other thing, is it really goes to show how much racial antipathy and hatred there is. Knights of the Storm. Maybe we can get a bunch of trans dudes in there to make it more interesting. Kind of like people who watch NASCAR for the wrecks. Yeah, we'll just have this one, you know, hideous guy in a dress out there absolutely demolishing all the women. Knights of the Storm, the answer to higher demands for the WNBA is to shut it down. That's right. You guys aren't profitable. You guys don't make any money for us. You're losing us money. Sorry, we're closing up shop. If you want to play, play for the love of the game. All right. Children's Health Defense. Lawsuit targets HHS for failing to set up task force on childhood vaccine safety. The lawsuit is funded by Children's Health Defense. That's right. I believe we have a clip of, what is it? RFK. Gosh darn it, where is it? Yeah, it's the autism was rare.
1970. Scientists conducted the biggest epidemiological study in history of any country in the world. They looked at every child, 900,000 children in the state of Wisconsin, and they were specifically looking for autism. And they knew what autism looked like. And they did follow-up checks. It was an extraordinary study. They found three children. Right. So it was the rate of autism at that point was 0.7 per 10,000. So less than 1 per 10,000. A month ago, we released the newest data, which show that 1 in every 31 American kids has autism. And it's actually probably a lot worse than that because we gather that data state by state, and some states have better collection systems. The best collection system is California. And they're showing 1 in 19 kids has autism. 1 in 12.5 boys. This is unsustainable. And the cost of autism alone by 2030, according to a recent peer-reviewed study,
you can see here,
is going to be a trillion
dollars. RFK knows what's going on. He knows there's a massive problem, but he's not doing anything about it. And Children's Health Defense, good for them, is standing up and saying no. The lawsuit alleges Kennedy is violating the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, which requires the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to promote the development of safer childhood vaccines that cause fewer and less serious adverse reactions than existing ones. The act requires HHS to establish a task force that includes the Health Secretary, the Commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the Directors of the National Institutes of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It also requires the Health Secretary to provide Congress with progress reports every 2 years. Of course, this is the institution that RFK used to be a part of or head of. And they're actually standing up and saying, you promised us something. They're not sitting down and ignoring what's going on. They're not willing to accept it. They're actually holding his feet to the fire, going so far as to file a lawsuit. Mary Holland, CEO of Children's Health Defense, which is funding the lawsuit, said it is black letter law that the HHS secretary must convene a task force on how to make vaccines safer. This is part of the 1986 Act itself. That no secretary has done so since the passage of this law is a blow to the rule of law. Hope and trust that the current secretary will fulfill his obligation to Congress's mandate. Flores said the 1986 Act includes a broad provision allowing citizens to sue the secretary if the requirements are not met. His lawsuit asks the court to compel Kennedy to comply with the mandate to set up a task force and submit biennial reports to Congress. That's right. They're going... it's so rare to see this type of thing. It's so rare to see someone actually willing to hold someone accountable, especially someone that they ostensibly used to kind of work for, someone that they might have had a relationship with, a positive relationship with. This takes a lot of guts. Flores told the Defender, it was astonishing that HHS hasn't fulfilled its responsibility to make vaccines safer. Perhaps a little encouragement from a federal judge will help move this along, he said. Between 1980 and 1986, people injured by vaccines filed more than $3 billion worth of damage claims with U.S. civil courts against vaccine manufacturers, most of which were for the DTP vaccines. After lawsuits revealed that Wyeth knew of the risks, juries began authorizing large payouts to some DTP-injured children. Payouts threatened to bankrupt the vaccine insurance industry. The publicity also generated public concerns about vaccine adverse events. In 1986, Anthony Fauci, of course, Congress passed a law giving the pharmaceutical industry broad protection from liability and creating a framework to compensate children injured by compulsory vaccines. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, a no-fault administrative system that adjudicates vaccine injury claims.
And that was the first thing Fauci did when he got in.
Thank you, Anthony Fauci. He has been an enemy of the American people since he was first brought into the government. He has shown he despises the American people. Although it is notoriously difficult to win compensation in the VICP, it has paid out over $5.2 billion to injury victims since its inception. Even with all the roadblocks they put in place, even with how difficult it is to get a diagnosis of vaccine injury to start the process, then how difficult they make it in court, they've still paid out $5.2 billion. Flores' lawsuit alleges the number would be significantly higher if vaccine manufacturers had to defend themselves in federal court rather than in the VICP. Yeah, they're the ones that set up the playing field. They chose the rules. They chose this exact... They set up everything in their favor, and they've still had to pay out $5.2 billion. A lesser-known part of the 1986 law mandated the pursuit of safer vaccines, and they've done nothing about that. In the establishment of the task force, like the VICP, this aspect of the law has long been a point of controversy. In 2018, when Kennedy worked as a lawyer, he and co-counsel Aaron Seary filed a lawsuit against HHS in a New York district court, seeking copies of the biennial reports after the agency failed to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests. Kennedy's lawsuit revealed that no reports were ever submitted to HHS. And of course, now that he's the head, he's not doing it either. First, he sues them over it, and when he gets into power, he disregards it as well. We're going to make America healthy again, right? More recently, former HHS Secretary Javier Becerra, who left office in January, confirmed that no health secretary had ever provided safety improvement reports to Congress. Not going to start now. Why would we expect Robert Kennedy to do that? KWD68, lots of kids now with autism. It isn't sustainable. Now jab your kids. Yeah. Kennedy out there talking about how obvious it is, how something needs to be done, and then he gets into position to do something, and he simply ignores it. Ah, no, we're going to focus on Red 40. All this other nonsense. We want to get you a wearable smartwatch, wearable health tech. Now, keep vaccinating your kids. You know, we no longer have the COVID shot recommended for pregnant women and young children. Isn't that enough? We're not recommending it anymore. Come on. Florida Surgeon General highlights vaccine injury calls on NIH to act. Of course, as we're talking about, RFK is simply dragging his feet. He's not doing anything about it. He's kind of just there. At a press conference at Florida State University in Tampa, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo made an urgent call for the NIH program funding to help Americans injured by COVID-19 vaccines and expressed support for the May federal changes in the HHS's restrictive COVID-19 vaccine recommendations. This Latipo is doing more than RFK. Stanford scientists link spike in thyroid eye disease to COVID vaccines. This is from Slate News. This disease is kind of giving people sort of Marty Feldman eyes, where they're sort of bugging out. It's making them sort of bulbous. A group of leading My name is Igor. Thought it was Igor. You heard wrong then, didn't you? A group of leading American scientists has uncovered evidence linking COVID mRNA vaccines to surging reports of thyroid eye disease, TED, an alarming disorder that leads to blindness. This is yet another adverse effect. This is another new thing that they're just now discovering. I keep harping on it, but we've only seen short-term effects.
And Marty Philbin's eyes were also due to a thyroid problem, I think, from a car wreck, was it?
I don't remember, but yeah, I believe you're right. But these are still short-term effects. We're still discovering what it does in the short term, because it's difficult to get anyone to do studies. It's difficult to get them to want to investigate these types of things. They don't want the vaccine to be linked to any of these things. The only way they ever do is because the evidence becomes overwhelming. TED, also known as Graves' ophthalmopathy, causes the eyes to bulge in their sockets due to severe swelling of the muscles. The eyes become bloodshot and crossed, causing double vision and total loss in severe cases. Another thing you can thank Donald Trump and Anthony Fauci for. Causes inflammation and swelling of the eye muscles, eyelids, tear ducts, and fatty tissues behind the eyes. Patients become aware of the condition when they begin to suffer from the initial symptoms, such as bulging, dry, or watery eyes. In recent years, cases of TED have inexplicably spiked, raising concern among the medical community. However, a new study has just linked the surging reports to the mass COVID vaccination campaign. It's continuing. It seems, you know, weekly or monthly, they're finding some new adverse effect that is causing severe harm to people. Con, think if we do more of what we have been doing, the problem can only get better, right? Yeah, that's right. Just pile more on top of it. You know, we've got this huge fire over here. Maybe we should pour some gasoline on it. Cecilia, 14, in reality, old people who suddenly develop memory problems and cognitive decline right after shots, said old head dementia is really the same as kids' autism, yeah. It sent a lot of people spiraling immediately. Just their immune systems weren't able to handle it. They couldn't deal with what was injected into them, and so they rapidly pass away. Chevkin, I've been seeing those thyroid eyes commercials lately. HAL 9000, Cash Patel eyes. CJP Rumble, he's got Steve Buscemi eyes. Yeah, Steve Buscemi also has those sort of kind of bugging, very haunting eyes. Defy Tyrant 1776, if people haven't figured out by now that the entire government is our biggest enemy and that every politician is a wicked liar, they never will. Yeah, you would think it would be so obvious that they'd have to admit it by now, but some people are desperate to just believe that, oh, the government's fine. You know, sure, they get some things wrong, but they're trying to do their job. They're really trying their hardest. SoloCat 1980, I knew RFK would fail us. Yeah. I didn't really have any hope for him. You know, there's always a vague sort of sense of like, well, maybe. Who knows? Anything is theoretically possible. But I didn't have any actual, like a confident hope that he would do it. Just in the, you know, give it a shot, sure. Put him in there. But he has validated all our fears of him doing nothing. COVID shot mandates persist for Ontario health workers despite staffing crisis. This is from LifeSite. We have a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy, the posting reads. As a condition of employment, all employees are required to submit proof of COVID-19 vaccination status prior to start date. Ontario's continued enforcement of COVID shot mandates come after all other provinces have lifted the mandate. Certain areas, you know, are more brainwashed than others. Ontario in Canada being one of them, it seems. While some hospitals offer religious or medical exemptions, healthcare workers have told LifeSite News that these are rarely granted, meaning finding work as a healthcare worker is nearly impossible in Ontario without COVID vaccination, quote unquote. As LifeSite News previously reported, Ontario will need 33,200 more nurses and 50,853 more personal support workers by 2032 to fill the healthcare worker shortage. Figures the progressive conservative government of Doug Ford has asked the Information and Privacy Commissioner to keep secret. Now, don't tell people that. Don't let them know. Question is, who would really want to work there anyway? Work for these people, for these systems. Maybe that's why Canada is rushing to import so many people. We're going to rush them through medical school, and these immigrants, these third worlders, will do anything we tell them.
Well, some people do go into the medical field because they want to help people. I think that's more the exception. Most people are just looking for a high-paying job, but especially a lot of nurses. And those are the people they're trying to purge from this. They only want the profit-focused people. And this is why stuff like what that guy, Dr. Moore, was doing, Kirk Moore, is important. He was giving out things that these people could keep working. You know, they go to college. They have to have a job in this field. That's the only thing they have experience for, and then they get shut down by everyone because they don't poison themselves.
Yeah, they punish you for standing on your convictions. Tragically, the healthcare worker shortage has meant that many Canadians are unable to receive care, as the average wait sits at 27.7 weeks. That's half a year. Fortunately, the increased wait times have led some Canadians to despair of receiving treatment and instead chose to end their lives through medical assistance in dying, the MAID program, the euphemistic name for Canada's euthanasia regime. We have seen this becoming more prominent. Just, they're actively recommending it to people. You know, nothing we can do for you. How about we kill you instead? I know you wanted treatment. I know you wanted to live, but sadly, we're understaffed and we're not going to allow people that aren't vaccinated with poison to work here. So we're not going to be able to see you. Sorry that the pain has gotten excruciating. Sorry that it's become untreatable. We can euthanize you if you want, though. Defining moment in human history, U.S. rejects WHO's international health regulation amendments. This is from Children's Health Defense. And this is a good thing. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said today the U.S. would not agree to sign over authority in health emergencies to an unelected international organization that could order lockdowns, travel restrictions, or any other measures that it sees fit. Again, that's a good thing. We don't want to be turning over any more of our sovereignty to these massive unelected bureaucracies, these international organizations that don't have any loyalty or interest in preserving the United States or its people. Content gas tank, is that 1/8?
I believe that's not updated yet. Dad was going to look at that and update it today.
Have it updated by tomorrow. We don't have the exact numbers yet. That is outside of my purview. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Secretary of State Marco Rubio today announced that the U.S. is formally rejecting the controversial amendments to the World Health Organization's international health regulations. Revisions would allow the WHO to order global lockdowns, travel restrictions, or any other measures it sees fit to respond to nebulous potential public health risks, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said. We should be rounding these people from the WHO up. We should be putting them on trial. We should be reading them their rights and then locking them up until we can process them all. RFK Jr. rejects WHO's Trojan Horse International Health Regulations Amendment. Are we going to be subject to a technocratic control system that uses health risks and pandemic preparedness as a Trojan horse to curtail basic democratic freedoms? Do we want a future where every person, movement, transaction, every human body is under surveillance at all times? That's what Kennedy stated, but RFK wants to use wearables to track all that kind of data. He wants to be the one that is surveilling every human body.
Do we want to give that information over to someone other than me?
Apparently not. And again, we don't. This is a good thing to oppose, but it's just funny the way he phrases it. Wow, you want to give them that kind of surveillance tech? No, I don't, and I don't want you to have it either, RFK. Reggie Littlejohn, president of Anti-Globalist International and co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition, stated, "I applaud Secretary Kennedy's courage in calling out the WHO for what it is, a Trojan horse. Under the pretext of health and safety, health, safety, and pandemic response, the WHO's amended IHRs create the framework for biotech surveillance. Police state." Yeah. Oh, well, you know, there's something going around. We think that it's best if you don't leave your house for, you know, months, weeks, however long, we'll decide. This bureaucracy that has no ties to the country that they're going to inflict this on. These bureaucrats that are sort of vaguely human. You know, men made of numbers and mystery meat. You don't know who they are or where they came from. This is from the expose. In 9 out of 10 illnesses, our bodies can and will heal themselves. Yeah, this is why first do no harm is so important. They've been ignoring it for years. They want to get you hooked on some kind of pharmaceutical, some kind of drug. Not going to let your body do its job. In his book, Body Power, first published in 1983, Dr. Vernon Coleman explained how you can use the power of your body to keep you healthy, to make you well in 90% of illnesses. The following is an excerpt taken from another of his books, published in 2014, about things I have learned. The excerpt highlights the healing power of the body, referring to his earlier work, Body Power. Many of the people who were injured by doctors never needed medical treatment in the first place. The human body contains a comprehensive variety of self-healing mechanisms, which means that in 9 out of 10 illnesses, your body will mend itself. It is important that you learn to understand your body, learn to appreciate its healing abilities. Popular sugar substitute marketed to diabetics linked to stroke, heart attack, brain cell damage. We see this sort of thing. Most of the time, sugar substitutes end up being even worse than sugar itself. Erythritol is the one in question now. It can constrict blood vessels, reduce the body's ability to break down blood clots, and increase inflammation. Leads to increased risk of stroke, heart attack, and brain cell damage. Of course, erythritol has gained popularity in recent years. They're always trying some new, different sugar substitute. Unfortunately, the sugar alcohol seems, per the new study from Boulder, to be nearly as harmful as the artificial sweetener aspartame, which is used in many diet sodas, has been labeled carcinogenic by the World Health Organization, has been linked to increased heart attack and stroke risk. Following up on a 2023 study that linked increased stroke and heart attack risk with higher erythritol circulation in the bloodstream, integrative physiology professor Christopher D'Souza and graduate student Auburn Berry, both co-authors on the new paper, sought to learn more about this unsettling correlation. So again, their chemical-based nonsense ends up being extremely harmful, ends up doing damage to you, being worse than just a natural sugar. This is one of those things where, in moderation, sugar is fine. You can have a little bit of sugar now and then, and it's not going to kill you. But people use these as substitutes, and they drink them constantly. They eat them constantly, because they don't want to practice self-control. You can have one bowl of ice cream here or there is not going to kill you. One, you know, maybe Mexican Coke made with real sugar now or then isn't going to kill you. But if you refuse to moderate yourself and think, you know what, I'm going to get fat if I just continue to drink Coke, I know what I'll do. I'll drink Diet Coke. It's even more chemicals and worse for you than a regular Coke is. It might not make you fat, but it's going to damage your body in other ways. We've got a comment here. David Ramsey, 2328. Hey, Travis, do viruses exist? I want to hear your straight position. You keep playing along with all these stories. For the record, I personally don't think viruses exist, but I'm going to tell you that I am not qualified to make that assessment. I don't have the requisite intelligence or information to give you a 100% answer. I can point you to the interview that my dad did with the Baileys, the doctors, what is it, Sam and Mark, I want to say. That's available on Rumble, and they make a very compelling case that I think that makes me think viruses aren't real. And you can look at that for yourself. personally that did the convincing for me, but I do not have, as I said, the requisite knowledge to make an informed decision on that for other people. So go check out that interview with the Baileys if you're interested. But no, personally, I don't believe viruses are real. I think it's been a long con job. And for the record, when I'm playing along with the narratives, I'm reading the stories as they are being reported. If I have to sit here and clarify every single time, by the way, I don't think viruses are real. And by the way, I don't think, you know, whatever, vaccines are actually helpful. It slows down the pace of the program. I assume that most of you all know my position on things. I hope that clarifies things for you, David. MAV 2022, doctors aren't trained how to help the body heal. They are trained on how to mask symptoms. Disease is a verb, not a noun. It's why doctors have practices. That's right. Oh, I said, I don't want a doctor that practices medicine. I want a guy that's got it down pat. I don't want the guy that's practicing. The Front Porch Media, sucralose is almost the only thing available now. Stevia is hardly used. Yeah. They've kind of limited your options.
I think sucralose tastes closer to sugar, and that's why you see it in everything. Yeah. But yeah, it is not as good for you. It's one of the ones that allegedly you don't, but your body doesn't process it. It just passes right through you.
Yeah.
Stevia, as far as I know, is better, but it doesn't taste as good. It's got a bitter taste.
Yeah,
I like monk fruit personally. As far as I know, there aren't really any side effects for that one, and it tastes a lot like sugar.
Yeah, stevia always has that kind of weird, funky aftertaste to it, and so it ends up being used less. But as Lance said, monk fruit is a good substitute, but I've tried it in coffee when we've had it, and I don't like it. There's something about the way it mixes with the acid in the coffee that makes it taste very, very strange to me. It doesn't seem to get rid of the bitterness. It seems to put a sweetness on top of it, and then the bitterness is still there. And so, personally, monk fruit is good for baking and other things like that, but not in coffee, personally. Not for me. Guard Goldsmith, given the fact that RFK Jr. never acknowledged the unconstitutional nature of the FDA, it always seemed likely that he would push more authoritarianism. Little pullback, yeah. They'll give you a little bit here and there. RFK will pay lip service to certain things. But he doesn't really want to dismantle these systems. He doesn't want to get them out of your life. He wants to use them for his own reasons, the way that he thinks they should be run. Well, you know, sure, I'll do this here and that, but I want to be the one that gets to put the wearables on you, the one that gets to be in charge of your life. Well, wow, we are almost out of time. We have only about a minute and a half left. Time sure flies when you're having fun. Doug the 007, it's better to just limit your sugar intake and let your taste buds adapt to lower sugar. Yeah, sugar is incredibly addictive. That's why they put so much of it in kids' cereals and things. They know that kids have a hard time regulating their, you know, self-control as is. And when you give them something with a massive amount of sugar, they're going to want more and more of it. It is. It's bad. It's bad. Sugar, again, if you can limit your amounts, it's not going to kill you. It will, you know, in massive amounts, it's terrible for your health. But if you're capable of regulating it and having it in moderation, then it's fine. That's my opinion on things. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. So don't take my word for it. But yeah, that's how I view it. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to go through the news with you. And if you would like to support the show, go to davidknight.news. We've got all the ways you can do that listed there. Really do appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you then. Take care.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common.
That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.